Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
You ready, champ?
I've been ready for this my whole life.
Can you take us out on the field?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
You got your head so far up your ass about that damn football team. You don't get the fact. You just got 1 year of top quality education. Don't be wasting my time.
Paul Perillo.
Do you see that guy over there? Could you maybe wave at him a little bit? Just kind of humor him. Please.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm sick of being all-time center.
You're sick of what?
Andy Hart.
I'm sick of being all-time center.
Rudy, I told you 5 times. You can't play anything else but all-time center. You're too small.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
Oh, you are so full of crap. You're 5 feet nothing, 100 and nothing, and you got hardly a speck of athletic ability.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
You all know what you have to do. Remember, no one, and I mean no one, comes into our house and pushes us around. This is your game now, gentlemen. Let's get them.
All right, that's exactly how I feel after watching... No, not quite a week, but almost a week of training camp here at Gillette Stadium. Let me tell you, folks, and I'm assuming everyone that is listening out here is a Patriots fan, your team is going all the way this year. They look good. There is depth all around, okay? Maybe not outside linebacker right now, but everywhere else, it is looking good. The competition in camp is fierce, and that's because... there's a lot of guys that can play football on this team, my friends. And the Patriots are going to make a run for it. I guarantee you that. So, welcome to PFW in Progress. I'm Fred, of course. Everybody will be here eventually. They're upstairs. Scott O'Brien was supposed to do a press conference right around noon. That got canceled till later in the day. So, when he has that, we'll have it on Patriots.com. So, people should be arriving shortly here. Of course, you know, food gets in the way. Up, here comes people right now. Andy's got a plate full of food. Paul's got a plate full of food. So things are good. But as I was saying before they walked in, a great, 5 days of training camp so far. This team is stacked. They are ready to go. I think Brady's looked as good as I've ever seen him. What are you laughing about, Andy? He does. His arm looks as – I'm telling you. Before I knew it, I know it even more now. Patriots are going all the way this year. So webradio@patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio@patriots.com. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. So now that O'Brien's not doing his press conference, where's Eric?
Working on something.
Oh, okay.
He better be bringing me lunch.
Me too. And
the whole crew will be down. The interns, Eric.
In fact,
John.
John from LA is in the house today. He's
and his wife.
He's visiting one of our writers for PFW, Patriots.com, I should say. Of course, he does the Friday outtakes. So he came to take in practice, give him some more material for his column. Paul has a roast beef sandwich that he made for himself. It's like one of those Dagwood sandwiches. Remember the Dagwood sandwich? Are you guys too old for that? Too young?
Kind of feel like we had it in elementary school or something.
Well, there was a Sunday comic strip called Blondie.
There still is.
And her husband was Dagwood.
Right.
And he would make these sandwiches for himself that were like, you know, a foot tall.
I think in elementary school, something on the menu was Dagwood sandwich.
The Dagwood sandwich.
Well, the funny part to me is I absolutely knew what a Dagwood was, but I never knew that part of the story.
Yeah.
I never knew it came from a comic strip. Well, I just thought it was like a big sandwich. But this is not really. This is some ham and roast beef.
Ham and roast beef. Got egg in there, too?
No.
No? Looks like you got some egg in it.
Mustard.
Mustard. Okay.
Do you ever have egg on your sandwich?
No.
That's a big Jersey thing.
Okay.
Like, an egg and roast beef sandwich or an egg and pastrami or whatever. Just throw an egg on there.
Boring.
All right. So,
guess who's paying attention today?
Yesterday was Brady's birthday. They had the annual birthday celebration. He got a cake in the face and water poured all over him. That was fun. Today at practice, Mike Shanahan from the Denver Broncos was at camp just watching.
Formerly from the Denver Broncos.
Well, you know, his last thing that
Well, I guess
did.
They're still paying him, so he's sort of still a...
Yeah. So he was there, but practices are looking good, I think. What do you guys think?
I think very good, but, I mean, focusing on Brady and saying he looks as good as ever, I think, is a little misleading.
In practice? Why is that misleading?
Because he's fine. Who cares?
What do you mean, who cares?
I certainly wouldn't consider Brady looking in this camp better than ever.
Why?
But for the team itself?
Looks really good.
I think looks fantastic. Well,
I'd be focusing on running game.
Hold on.
I think Brady has been, been good.
Linebackers.
I certainly don't want to make it sound like Brady hasn't been good. He has, but I mean, better than ever?
When in camp has he ever looked better than he looks right now?
I would say any year before last year.
Oh, come on.
Last year he didn't participate in camp very much. So
right.
I wouldn't say last year.
Right.
But prior to that, I've seen instances in this camp where he's been not on the same page as his receivers. Some of the throws, whether it was his fault and a bad read or a bad route by the receiver.
Well, you've seen that in every camp.
And you see them talking afterwards. No, I don't usually see that with him. I don't. I don't see a lot of it.
Folks, don't let Paul bring you down.
I don't know how that's bringing you down.
I'm telling you, look, he doesn't want to come off as like, you know, Mr. Rah-Rah like I am, and I admit
no.
it. But objectively, he has looked as good as he's ever looked in a training camp. I'm telling you right now.
Well, I don't really understand what you're basing that on. For the team, I'm with Andy. I think, especially considering all the things that have gone into it, Eric and I talked about this in the podcast last night. You've had now 5 days of double sessions every day. Now this is you're into the sixth day. They've been in full pads in the first 11 practices 9 times. You've had a variety of weather, all of which has been difficult. At the one constant has been oppressive humidity to me. It's been very warm and uncomfortable for the players. Now
today might have been the easiest day of
you
all.
Throw
they,
in,
they lucked out today because it was supposed to be sunny and close to 90.
You
and
throw
it was
into that
cooler because you, of the yeah.
But
go
you,
ahead,
but even if you throw into that the periodic rain, some wind. Bill couldn't ask for anything more. I mean, he's had almost the gamut of weather, and it's all been uncomfortable, tough to train in. And with very, very few exceptions, I think the team has looked very, very sharp. I think offensively the passing game has looked good. I think not just Brady. I think there's been times where the other guys have looked good as well. Have you gotten into Andrew Walter at all?
I haven't, not at all.
Brian Hoyer. Well, obviously Gutierrez got released last night. Andrew Walter was signed. I think that's a good sign for Brian Hoyer, the undrafted guy out of Michigan State. I think he's looked decent in camp. I don't want to, you know, go overboard and say he's never played the position better. But I've been impressed with him. He and Walter pretty much split all the reps behind Brady today. O'Connell kind of took a step back. Not a step back in development. A step
right.
He didn't participate in practice
stepped
today.
Stepped aside.
Yes. I think O'Connell actually has been coming on of late. I thought he was a little shaky in the first couple of practices, but I thought over the weekend he started to improve. I thought Monday he was pretty good. And the running game has really, I think, been impressive in training camp. Bill keeps talking about all these different guys and how productive they've all been. We've seen it. They've been on the field for every practice. Sammy Morris, Lawrence Maroney, Fred Taylor, Kevin Falk, they've been out there for every practice, and Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis. I want to throw him into that mix because he's done a lot of things, too. Yeah, they've all looked very good and very productive. I think they have a chance.
2,800 yards.
You made the comment yesterday about how good the running game was yesterday morning, and they did a lot of 9-on-7 stuff yesterday morning, Fred, real physical practice.
They still haven't had full contact yet.
Right.
Well, they haven't done a goal line drill with a tackle. They'll never do anything other than the goal line where they tackle the running backs.
Right.
But I'm just talking about the cuts they're making, mm-hmm. the quickness
well,
that got
in
Fred
the tackling
Taylor.
Drill today. Fred Taylor absolutely stoned a guy.
But I don't care about that. I'm talking about when they've carried the ball. I wanted to see Fred Taylor prove to me he didn't fall off the face of them. I mean, he had a terrible year last year. 3.7 a carry, despite starting 13 games, not a lot of yards. I don't think he's fallen off the map. I don't think he's hit that, you know, cliff that the 30-year-olds can hit. And I think all the guys have looked quick, bouncy, strong cuts. I agree with Paul. I think Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis has looked better than the guy I remember from last year, I really think there's a chance with all the focus on the passing game. And I've been a little underwhelmed by Lewis and Galloway, who are supposed to be the new additions to help diversify the passing game. I think there's a chance they rush for a lot of yards this year. Offensive line is back, not only as a whole, but all the backups, and you add your guy Seabass to the mix.
Right. When you look at Galloway and Lewis and compare them to Moss and Welker, you realize really how good Moss and Welker's hands are. They really are exceptionally gifted when it comes to catching the ball. Now, speed-wise, Galloway's faster than Welker, and he's, at this point, maybe even faster than Moss. But hands-wise, you know, Moss and Welker are in a league of their own. And, you know, so it's tough to compare really where Lewis and Galloway are. I think Lewis has had some really good plays. I've seen him drop some balls, too. Same with Galloway.
Well, what I was surprised about with Lewis, and Andy has also talked about this, and I totally agree with him, I thought Lewis was a totally different kind of receiver. He is, a guy who's more comfortable on the outside and more kind of straight ahead, not real shifty, not, I don't think, overly precise, but he can get deep. He's been open deep a number of times in this camp, and I think he has had his moments. I agree with you, Fred. I think he's made some plays. He's shown up a couple of times, but not in the – I thought you were going to have a situation, you know, potentially with Moss and Galloway outside, Welker and Lewis in the slots. I don't really think that that's Lewis's strong suit. I think he's more of an outside guy, but he has the ability to play in the slot. I don't want to say you won't ever see him there. He will. But I think we've seen more Julian Edelman in the slot in this camp than you have Greg Lewis.
Let's talk about Edelman. You brought him up. Does this guy have a chance?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think they're so thin at receiver, they're going to need some guys. I'll tell you another guy who I wouldn't have given a sniff of a chance is Terrence Nunn. I think he's had a terrific camp for an undrafted guy that we know nothing about, spent an entire season last year out of football after a reasonably productive career at Nebraska. He's caught absolutely everything. You want to say that there's a difference between when the guys catch the ball, Moss and Welker? Well, I think there's a difference between Nunn and the rest of the guys, too. Hmm. He catches everything.
I think he makes the team. I actually think both of them make the team, and I think your boy from last year is on the outside looking in a Slater. Some of those guys who don't.
Right.
I've seen Nunn do gunner drills, a little bit of returning. So it's not
and
just
Nunn,
receiver.
Nunn is what? How tall is he? He's a little taller than
6 feet.
Yeah,
maybe.
He's a good size receiver.
Well, I mean, average.
Yeah.
He's not a Moss, but he's not a Welker. He's not a tiny guy. He's kind of in between somewhere.
Right.
I think he's looked good. I think there's a lot to be happy about. And I know we're watching supposedly the best team in football, but you don't expect to be talking about Terrence Nunn. And, you know, Ryan Wendell getting reps with the first. I mean, there's stories,
by the way,
that are adding to the best team in football. Wow, maybe they're even a little deeper at places than we thought they were. So it's been a very interesting start to the camp. And the superstars, I think, have played like superstars. I wrote about on the web Adalys Thomas and Gerard Mayo. I thought various points they were the best players on the field in different days, hitting people, banging, chasing. There's a lot to be happy about right now. I still have my questions about that outside linebacker spot.
Okay,
but
we're going to get to that.
And that's the reason why when you said, you know, Paul and Andy don't want to be rah-rah, forget that. I'm as rah-rah as anybody. They have been extremely impressive on the field. The only thing I would disagree with, I've seen Tom Brady do this before. I don't think this really. I think the best thing for Tom Brady is you would not know that he had a serious knee injury if you didn't already know.
Right, that's true.
You see the brace, but you can't really tell.
You can't tell. The defensive backfield looks like they've got some guys there that are going to make some plays this year. Brandon Merriweather picked off Brady to end practice last night. And by the way, Brady was very upset. The owner was on the field last night. And as Brady walked off the field, he said to the owner, "I hate ending practice that way." He was really upset, Brady was, at that last pass. And he had a pretty good practice up to that point. And just got a little careless. Merriweather made a good play in the back of the end zone and came, did a little curly kneel after he picked off the pass.
You know what's funny is, Fred, when you said that, it's interesting because the throw, that play was so bad by Brady that I almost thought it was a situational work, Andy, where because you had gone because you were busy being a TV hotshot last night. They had started at around the 35-yard line, and they clearly needed a touchdown in a late game situation. They threw a bomb to Joey Galloway that got him down to the 11-yard line. It might even have been like the midfield because it was probably a 30-35-yard pass.
Yeah.
They got down to the 11-yard line, and then there was an incompletion, then a short completion, and they ended up with the last play was probably from around the 5-yard line, Fred?
Yeah, I'd say maybe a little inside, but around there, yeah.
And it almost looked like there was time, no more time for any more plays after this, and they needed a touchdown, so he had to throw it because he threw it right to him. Merriweather was standing under the goalpost, never moved, and the ball hit him between the three and the one. And then, further adding to my...
Just didn't see him?
Yeah, well, maybe he just didn't see him, but I think he just kind of forced it in, saying, well, I mean, if I take a sack, we lose. The game's going to run, you know, the game's over. I have to score in this play. And a field goal didn't do him any good, you know. And I'm guessing. I'm putting all that together just by the action. You don't really see Brady make that kind of throw. And what further led me to believe that was, as Fred said, Merriweather's reaction. He started out of the end zone, and he made it to about the 2 or 3 yard line, then dropped down as if to say, oh, I probably should have just taken the knee. The game's over. And then he protected the ball, and then he did a little curly shuffle where he, you know, was celebrating a little bit. But that was a rare play for me, for Brady. And the only thing I could think of was that the situation that Bill had created said that he had to force it in there.
Yeah.
But he played this game long enough, and happened.
Brady was upset after that play. But so
that's
the defensive backfield, there's some guys, there's a lot of nice competition going on there. I saw Wheatley make a nice play today.
And we haven't even seen half of them.
Will Hite hasn't been out there.
The bulk of camp since like the first day. Sean Spring started an MFI, came back from a reported illness, was very winded, now has missed some more practices. So we haven't even seen all the competition play out. And I agree with that. I think Butler at times has looked very good. Wheatley at times has looked very good. Bodden has made some plays and has just flat out looked solid. I've yet to see him look terrible or get burnt or you know, have a really bad practice. And they have him on the right side, and it just seems like he's kind of positioned himself. That's his side, and the competition's on the other side.
As far as the safeties go, Chung has been in the mix, but Merriweather and Sanders look solid back there. They'll probably be your starting safeties. Go ahead, Andy.
I know you're going to make fun of me, but I think James Sanders has looked better in coverage. I think he's made some nice plays in coverage, and that's always been his...
I'm not going to make fun of you.
Well, he's my binky, and you know, I'm seeing things through Fred Kirsch-type glasses. But he's made some diving plays, some tip balls. I think he's been beat other times, don't get me wrong. But I think he's made a couple of advancements maybe in his coverage game, and if he can add that to his game as a solid tackler kind of guy, that only helps the secondary.
All right, so now we move to the linebackers. As we said, Mayo and Adalis Thomas look great. But after that, there's
in
a lot.
3-4 front, there's they a have lot, two.
There's a lot to be decided. Paris Lennon, it's tough to see if he's doing good or not because they're not tackling yet, and that's what he does. He tackles people. So it's hard to see. I don't think he's looked that great in coverage. I guess
from what I've seen from Paris Lennon, it hasn't been good. I haven't seen anything where I go, oh, that's a nice play. It's been either bad or blah.
Yeah,
I can't hear you.
I don't think he's looked – I agree. Even in the run drills, I think he's gotten taken handled pretty well.
But I also haven't seen him in what I would expect would potentially be his role is 3-4 defense lined up next to Mayo on the inside. Right. Everything I've seen has been, I mean, just tons of four-man fronts with him as the middle linebacker with the second group and some various things, but never a traditional 3-4. Wilfork's in front of him. Mayo's next to him. Inside run play, what does he do? You know, does he clean up the scraps or whatever? So I think right now he's maybe a little bit miscast in what he's doing.
Right. Now, in continuing with this, the sort of news of what's going on, there was a report in one of the papers today that said that Kevin Carter was in town for a workout. Now, he's really a 4-3 end. He's been a 4-3 end his whole career. He's not one of these young guys that's played a couple of years like Rob Ninkovich, who maybe you think could make that transition or whatever. He's been around, 10, 12 years now, exclusively as a 3-4 end. He's 6'6", 305 pounds, so he can't play outside linebacker. If he's here, I don't know. I mean, if the Patriots are interested in him truly, I'm wondering if this is definitively their stance that we're going to play more four-man fronts this year than we have in recent years.
We talk about it every year, but this might be the year when they do it.
I will say this. I've seen it more in this camp than I have in any other. Yeah.
Well, that would get Ron Brace lining up next to Wilfork, which we've seen a couple times in camp already, perhaps.
We've also seen him lined up on the edge.
Right.
Now, obviously, they're two men down, sometimes three men down, with Seymour's been out, Warren's on PUP, Green has missed a lot of time, so I don't know what to read into the end reps for Ron Brace. But I will tell you this. I just talked to Mike Wright about all that, and just raving about Ron Brace. about how big, strong, good, he can do absolutely anything he wants on this defensive line. Just glowing terms.
Really?
And, you know, it's not Bill saying it or whatever, but it's a guy that's been here 5 years and has watched what goes on here and what it takes and has seen Seymour and Green, even himself, kind of what it takes to play both nose and end. I thought it was pretty positive stuff from a guy I kind of had come. Speaking of Greg Lewis being wrong, I thought Ron Brace was the riding the coattails as a defensive tackle of B.J. Raji and kind of pigeonholed him in my mind as just an interior lineman, run stuffer. Now I'm starting to think he's bigger, stronger, more athletic, everything than I gave him credit for.
Yeah, I didn't know about the coattails of Raji. That certainly was – Andy wasn't alone on that. Most of the draft guys thought of it that way. But what I did think he was pigeonholed as was an inside guy. Whether it's a tackle in a 4-3 or a nose tackle in a 3-4, he was one of those run-stuffing, space-eating guys. But right. Bill was talking about him the other day, saying how versatile he is. I didn't realize he had anywhere near that kind of versatility where you could line him up wide in a four-man front, and he could operate that way. He's listed as 6'3", what, 330, Andy?
Yeah, but he's a different body type than Wilfork.
No, he does. He does seem different.
Wilfork is all
right.
Upper body, all above the waist, with these little tiny
slightly
legs,
slightly above the waist.
And Wilfork is also a little shorter.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, but Brace is more, evened out. His upper half is about the same. It's more proportional. He seems more able to get around than Wilfork does. Now, Wilfork's probably a better space eater right now than Brace, but Brace seems to be more versatile. That's for sure. Now, speaking of that defensive line, Seymour hasn't been at a lot of practices. What's his deal?
Well, I think it's to the point where you're officially worried about him, because it's one thing to have some time off as a veteran, but he came out for the very first practice, and we haven't seen him since.
Right.
I find it hard to believe that.
He hasn't shown up on a list, though.
Well, he can't go on a list. Oh, he practiced.
That's right. He can't
go on any
list.
He's not eligible for a
list. Right.
So that's a concern for me. I can't imagine that, Teddy Bruschi is probably dealing with something physical, but he's been on the field occasionally, then he's out for another couple of practices, then he's on, and then he's out for another. Jarvis Green, kind of the same thing. I'm sure there's some injury concerns with those guys, but Seymour went out after that first practice, and we have yet to see him since.
And I'll take it a step beyond that. Teddy Bruschi, I've seen injured in the past, play and still play. Richard Seymour himself has made a huge deal out of when he's healthy, he's good, he's productive, he can stay on the field, and he can make plays. When he's not healthy, he's not as good. He has his down years. He raved in the spring to us about, last year I was healthy, this year, 30-year-old man's going to beat the 20-year-old man. All that stuff he said. Well, now I need to wonder, is he going to be dealing with something for all of training camp into the season?
You're right.
And is it going to affect him?
So if you're the Patriots front office or Bill Belichick, and you're looking at this and it's like, Richard, does this make it a little easier to decide what to do with Wilfork? Because we're going to say, this is it for Richard.
No?
Well, I mean, it might. I don't think it will.
I think they have a value on both guys and a role and everything. And
but where I think it does come into play for Richard, and listen, we all love Richard, okay? Especially me. I think he's a terrific guy, and I think when he's right, like Andy said, he's a terrific player. But I don't think he's one of those guys that he does play. He plays hard. He's a good teammate. And all of that stuff. But I do think that he is very cognizant at all times of the big picture for Richard Seymour.
Oh, yeah.
And he's in the last year of his contract. If he's not quite 100%, not only do you not get the best of Richard Seymour, like Andy said, has happened a couple years ago when he wasn't healthy and he talked about it a lot, maybe he won't get any Richard Seymour. Maybe if he's not, he doesn't, in a contract year, maybe he doesn't want to get out there and play at a subpar level and perhaps damage his marketability. I don't know. But we're putting the cart before the horse. I understand.
Be out there this afternoon.
I understand that. But I am not it's not encouraging to me to not have him out there for 10 straight practices.
Particularly when guys like Wilfork, who is in the same boat, has been out there the whole time. Tom Brady, has said, I got to get out there and I got to show these people that I'm going to lead this offense. All the other, but even Randy Moss, he's missed some.
Yeah.
But he's,
well,
but
that's
he's,
what worries me. Seymour's not sitting out because of that. Seymour's sitting out for a reason.
Yeah.
That's what worries me.
Yeah. It's not a veteran will monitor his practices. He hasn't shown up. So it is something to worry about. And if he is in fact hurt, you know, what do you do with this defensive line? I mean, how does that shape it? Does Jarvis Green just fill in and you go, you stick with the 3-4? Or, you know, how
depends
does
on a lot of things. I mean, what if Ty Warren isn't back? Now you're talking about your two
right,
Pro Bowl
true.
Caliber ends.
Ty Warren remains on PUP.
Now, instead of going 3-4, we're going to a four-man front, but we don't have two of our best players. There's a lot that, and Paul's right, there's a ton of time left. I know it feels like we've been in camp forever and so much has gone on. We're still more than a week from a preseason game, more than a month away.
Yeah, right.
I mean, there's a lot that could go on, and it might be minor, and they said, Seymour, make sure you're 100%. We don't want to risk it or whatever.
Right, right. Okay, 508-543-7482 is the phone number, and on the phone right now, Anthony in Naples. Anthony, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on there, Cork Soaker?
What's up, Anthony?
How you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
Just soaking
long
quartz.
Long time, no talk.
What have you been up to?
Yeah, where you been?
Big thing that just happened, I just came back from Connecticut from last weekend. I went up there and watched the Green Day concert, which was a good time.
Nice.
Great band live. I know you guys probably don't know who that is.
Well, Fred, I saw Green Day.
Fred saw him here.
I love him. I love Green
Day.
Oh,
did you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was a great show. I'll be completely honest with you. I never really cared much for their music. And a friend of mine had an extra ticket, so I just went as an adventure. And I only knew maybe about four songs, but I had a newfound respect for them. It's unbelievable how better they are live.
Yeah, they're excellent. They put on a good show.
That's about it. Trying to stay cool down here in the summertime. It's damn hot. That's about it.
Okay.
But on the Richard Seymour front, I think you guys need to worry a little bit less about him. To me, it's like apples and oranges when you're comparing, like, Brady and Moss, how they need to get reps and get in sync with each other because that's the offense and that's timing. Whereas in Richard Seymour, it's just about brute force. You know, yeah, you got to protect your gaps, you know, watch either side. But I think it takes a little bit less practice. Maybe you want to, like you said, you want to monitor his practices and just, like, have less wear and tear on
him. Well, that could be. But he hasn't been here at all, Anthony. I mean, you know, the same thing with Moss. Moss hasn't been at every practice, but you could depend on seeing him at least once a day. We haven't seen hide or hair of Seymour. And, you know, even if you're going to monitor him, you still want him out here. He's a veteran. He's a leader. You still
but
want
here's
something.
My question. Do you mean, like, he's not at training camp at all? You haven't seen him at all, or you just haven't seen him at practice?
I haven't seen him at practice. I don't know what's going on in the film room or what else, what, you know, in the weight room.
But he's there physically, right? Is that
I don't
there?
Know. I have
oh,
no.
Nobody's seen him?
No idea.
I would assume.
That was my next question. I was just wondering, is he there at all? Maybe he's taking care of some personal
Was he
stuff.
At the walkthrough Sunday night? Was he? We'll have to ask Eric.
You were out there, weren't you?
Yeah, I don't take attendance. I'm not sure. If, I mean, everybody else was here. Ty Warren was at the walkthrough Sunday night. I know that. I'll have to ask Eric if Seymour was at the Sunday night walkthrough.
Who's going
to
tell Eric?
Yeah. Like me, the way I look at it, to me on defense, where I think yeah, they need to be there more at practice, I think it's linebackers and obviously defensive backs. You know, they need to, you know, like work with each other and see how they read and react to same things.
But the only reason I'm making a big deal about it is because Seymour has made a big deal about it, how much he needs to be healthy and get his reps and do his work in the weight room and all that stuff. And he's made a big deal about how he feels dramatically different when he can do his normal things as opposed to having to focus on any kind of injury or rehab or all that crap.
Yeah, well, more or less, I'm actually glad that he's on the last year of his contract. I feel like he's going to play for that money, and that's fine. He can do that. And then let him go in free agency. I think Wilfork is the one to keep because he's younger. I don't know. That's just my feeling on it.
I agree with you on the beginning part. I think Richard Seymour is very motivated for a huge season on a lot of levels. Now, I don't know what this situation will do to that if he is indeed injured or has something nagging. But, you know, he had 8 sacks last year, and I don't think people even realize that. That he tied a career high, led the team. I think he was hoping to come in and have just a absolute monster year, playing potentially in front of a new starter like Pierre Woods, and you know the spotlight is going to be on the changes in the pass rush and the lack of Vrabel and all that. I think he was trying to position himself for a monster year.
Yeah. I don't know. I think this year is going to be a good year. All the moves and everything. Yeah, it's still questionable on Woods' side at outside linebacker, seeing how he's going to do. But I think the big difference is the defensive backfield. I really think that, you know, they're going to have a push up front, and they'll probably cover them just enough, you know, where, like, that backfield makes a difference. You know, because last year, I don't know, nothing, but it was probably one of the worst backfields we've ever had, I think. That's just my opinion on.
No, I would totally agree. Totally agree. The secondary, you know, and Fred talked about all the different guys.
Yeah.
I think he's dead on. You know, we've seen Lee Bodden, we've seen Darius Butler, we've seen Terrence Wheatley. The only negative out of all of those guys is the Jonathan Wilhite injury.
Yeah.
It's the only negative, because I think he was in line to do some different things, and now obviously, much like Simo, we haven't had a chance to see him do a lot of that.
How is Butler? Like, does he just look darn fast? Like, how does he look out there? Do you get excited watching him?
He's looked good. I wouldn't say he's looked great. I think he's flashed at times, and other times, and Andy makes the comment about this all the time, he looks better in team periods. You know, when they're going 11 on 11, I think he shows up more. When they're doing individual drills, he can get beat. So I don't know if it's, you know, one of those things where it's a concentration issue or he plays better in a team concept. Or what it is, but I've seen him in one-on-one drills kind of struggle, but then when they get in the team period, you see him knocking passes down left and right. So I think he's looked good. I don't want to get overboard. I know he's my he's my binky, like Andy has James Sanders, but I think he's looked good, not great.
Yeah, maybe the one-on-one is just like, hey, he realizes I'm in the NFL right now, and it messes with his head. You know, and then when he's probably with the 11 people, he's just like, okay, this is just like back in school, you know, and just does his thing. Maybe it has something to do with it. You know, like Mayo said, in his first year, he felt like a little behind because he was just trying to keep everything in front of him to make sure he didn't get lost.
Right.
So
right.
It's probably the same thing with him.
Yep. All right.
But honestly, guys, I have nothing to bring to the table. Just thought I'd give a little hello. It's a great time of year. We got football back.
Always good hearing from you, Anthony.
I know, and the gambling's about to begin, boys.
All right. Anthony from Naples. All right, good time to take a break. It's 12:34. We'll be right back.
David Beckham is back. Saturday, August 8th at 6 p.m. is your chance to see soccer icon David Beckham at Gillette Stadium. Be there as the international superstar and the Los Angeles Galaxy come to New England to take on the Revolution for the only time this year. Don't miss out on this exclusive chance to see the phenomenon that is David Beckham. Be a part of the madness and cheer on the Revs as they look to beat L.A. This is the most star-studded event in New England this summer, and this is your chance to see it live. Limited quantities of tickets are on sale now and start at just $20. Get yours now by calling the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS, Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000, or by logging on to revolutionsoccer.net. David Beckham, an international celebrity and one of the world's greatest soccer stars. This is your one and only chance to see him in New England. Don't get shut out. Get your tickets now.
50 seasons of New England Patriots football, 3 Super Bowl championships, endless memories.
It's good! It's good! Adam,
live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' 3 Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back-to-back, 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's greatest players or the signature film showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. And is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information or go online to thehall@patriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. An unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Fred's the boss, the chief, the leader of the PFW in Progress clan. And while he often goes on rants about fun facts, Skype, and making $5 the hard way, he sometimes has interesting things to say, or at least when you can hear him.
PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I just got yelled at because I didn't have my mic on.
Why don't you put your mic on?
Welcome to PFW. I had my mic off again.
Again.
Two shows in a row.
Turn your mic on, Fred.
Oh, I should remember to...
As sure as the stars shine above.
And Fred didn't turn on his mic.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
That's the longest you've ever gone.
And now, back to PFW in Progress. That is, if Fred remembers to turn his mic on.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. You really do need to come up with more bits there, Doc.
I know I do. I'm getting very bored.
I can't believe with all the things that I've said over the last year, you can't come up with anything new.
I can, but then you get upset.
Oh, come on. You can do it. Come on. All right. Doc actually produced a very fine event last night for new season ticket holders. We brought them in for sort of an orientation PowerPoint.
Really?
And so Doc was in charge of the PowerPoint slides. And on the opening slide, it said, "Welcome to all our new season ticket."
Actually, I had nothing to
you
do
with the slides.
You
forgot the word holders on there.
I think it got cut off on the screen. Oh. But I didn't do the slide design.
No?
No. Why don't you tell them what you did last night?
What did I do?
You offended the host of Patriots Today.
Only once?
Why am I not surprised?
Andy, what's the host of Patriots Today's name?
Christina
Acra.
Fred called her Christine twice.
You know what? I'm not sure that I did that. He's saying that I did, but
I was standing next to Matt Smith. The first time we let it go, then you did it again within 30 seconds, and Matt and I both look at each other and go, "It's only funny because it's Fred."
I think Christine is close enough to Christina.
It's a different name, but that's okay.
I might have trailed off and they didn't hear it.
Maybe that's what it probably was. You were suppressing a belch.
Right. Right.
You know, as you want to do.
Right.
So, I get it.
So anyway, it was a nice event. Good
look, they keep showing Bambi up on that.
But it was interesting that
Music City Miracle Game.
The season ticket holders that just these people that just became season ticket holders, they obviously came off the waiting list. Most of them have been on the waiting list a minimum of 10 years. And because of that time frame, a lot of these people came from Connecticut. Because they hopped on the waiting list at the time that the Patriots were thinking about moving to Connecticut. So somewhere around 14, 13 years. And so I'd say 80% of the room were people from Connecticut who had just, you know.
And how many do you think total?
Well, that showed up last night were only about 50 accounts. But this year we had about 400 accounts move over from, which is double what we usually do, move over from the waiting list.
You think that's economy driven?
Oh, it has to be.
You know. Still not a lot, though.
No, still not a lot. We're still in the mid-90s.
If you're number 47,000 on the waiting list, that's a long time before you get on.
Robert Kraft led
Paul,
off.
Would you like to say something?
No.
Robert and Jonathan led off last night, and according to them, the waiting list has grown to 60,000 tickets now.
Paul, would you like to say something?
No.
So these people that have waited 14...
Stop laughing, Paul Borello.
I'm not laughing.
These people that have waited 14 years, can you imagine the people behind them?
They got no chance. They're going to die.
Yeah.
If it's 400 this year, I mean, there's no chance. So give up.
The guy from the ticket office last night was saying that it's probably, if you were to sign up today, about 28 to 30 years.
That's unbelievable.
But that can change quickly. Belichick leaves, 1-15 seasons, and boom.
And you go from a 90.
Right up the list.
Yeah, you go from a 94% renewal rate to a 47% rate in the span of 5 years or something. And,
well, that would kill you.
Right.
Yeah. So.
But otherwise, if they keep winning, those number 60,000 on the list is going to be dead before they get the chance.
Yeah. Hey, with us today, all the way in from California via New York, is John Cockrell. John is one of the columnists, obviously, for Patriots.com. He does the Friday outtakes for us every week. John, how you doing?
Turn your mic on.
You get the mic on? There you go. Now we're hopping.
Still good.
He's a Hollywood screenwriter, but he doesn't know about hot mics. So John,
Eric knows about hot
You're
dogs.
Making fun of him.
Wow. Good. Good, John.
Good, John.
Good, John.
It's well already done. Better than your
well played.
I mean.
Oh, wait.
So you're here to take in some practice. You drove up from New York this morning.
Yep.
What did you think about, you know, the Patriots? First time you saw them live, obviously. But what did you think today?
I thought it looked good. The best news for me was seeing Brady move laterally really smoothly. No problem.
You got to talk long enough. Fred wanted to.
When I'm stuffing my face, that means you keep talking.
Stretch.
Very exciting to see Andrew Walter.
Yeah.
All right.
I asked Fred. I said, "So that Andrew Walter signing, is that bad news for Gutierrez?" He's like, "Yeah, he got cut."
Really bad news.
Very bad. The worst news, really.
Can't get much worse than that.
Do you think that they told Gutierrez, though, don't pack your bags, you might be back?
No.
No? You think that's it for him?
I kind of do. I mean, he got cut at the end of camp last year. He only came back because of not just the injury, but that whole Matt Castle's our guy, so we can't bring anyone new in because that would the whole – who were the two?
Chris Sims and Tim Rattay.
That whole play out there, Gutierrez was the only guy you could bring back because of the whole situation. I think his time here is done.
I mean, and O'Connell has looked good at times in Hoyer, but – there's a noticeable drop off between Brady and these other guys. You know, they're doing the drills where
now
that
I'm on
we
board.
Can agree
now
with.
I'm on board with you, Freddie.
Well, you know, they're doing the same drills, no rush, you know, just passers and defenders. I mean, receivers and defenders. You know, Brady always finds somebody. It's not a complete 100% of the time, but he always finds someone to get the ball to who has a chance to make the play. I mean, Gutierrez, same drill. I've seen him actually hold it to the point where he has to put it down and run. You can't do that. You have to make a decision.
That happens with the young guys, though. We've seen
all
the young guys that come through here face that. And I will say Hoyer does it less often through 5 days than all the other guys have, but
and I will agree
he's going to do it at some point.
And I think that what comes into their minds is they're drilled so much on ball security. Take care of the football. Don't turn the ball over. That when they don't see exactly what they want to see, rather than throw it and risk a possible interception, they're holding it too long. And we've seen that countless times with backups going back for whatever amount of 10 years now. The Michael Bishops, the Rohan Davies, and Cliff Kingsbury's of the world, and on to today, the three guys they have now.
But the point you make, if they don't see it the way they want to see it, that's the difference. Brady sees things that they don't see.
Well, I'll just give you a quick little story from a story that Andy and I heard last year. Josh McDaniels talking to Matt Castle. Andy, you remember this.
I doubt it.
They were watching the film, evidently, and they were showing a play where the receiver, I think it was Welker, was breaking across the middle, and Castle held onto the ball, and it was a play that he ended up getting sacked on. And Josh stopped it and said, right there, Matt. And the message was,
that's what I'm talking about.
In the NFL,
right.
That's open. You're looking at it and you're saying, well, he's not open. That's open in the NFL. You got to fit the ball into smaller windows, and you got to avoid mistakes. But you're not going to get too many guys. You know, that's what made it so amazing with how many times those guys get wide open. Is that doesn't happen all that often in the NFL. What's the matter, Andy?
I want to say Hoyer. His best throw of the day was an incompletion during some teamwork. I don't know, 30-yard line, maybe just touching the red area there. Down the seam, Chris Baker kind of took a while to develop.
Oh, great
Baker
throw.
Gave up on the ball. Hoyer led him. He was not open, but he led him to a spot. Baker gave up on the ball and couldn't make the catch, but it was a great throw and a great case of, in the NFL, the guy's not going to be 4 yards open, wait till he gets open, throw it. Throw to a spot or throw to where you know he's going to be, and you got to make plays that way. Very, 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 very impressed with Hoyer for what he is. And I mean, didn't have a good year at Michigan State, is an undrafted free agent, doesn't have a strong arm, and yet I think has looked really good.
I think that a lot of people are probably going to look at this quarterback transaction they made yesterday and say, well, they're bringing in someone else to compete with Kevin O'Connell. Bill's not happy, wants a guy with more experience, blah, 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 blah. I think this has less than 10% to do with Kevin O'Connell, this move. And I think that the story, to me, is exactly what Andy just said. This, to me, was a big thumbs up for Brian Hoyer. I think he has passed a very big hurdle very quickly in his first training camp. I'm not saying the guy's a lock to make the roster. I'm not saying that he's going to be this 10-year pro or whatever. But right now, they had a guy who has been in the system for 2+ years who they thought less of than him.
at this stage. Now, I know that Bill always does that. Well, this guy is at one point, right, and the veteran's at a higher point, but we think that's as high as he's going to get, and we think this guy has potential. Brian Hoyer, to me, the fact that he's still here and Matt Gutierrez isn't, I think Hoyer and Walter are the guys competing right now for number three. I don't think Walter is competing with O'Connell for number two. That's just my opinion.
I guarantee you Brian Hoyer will be here during September practice. Guaranteed.
Okay. Practice squad?
Possibly, or on the roster, but I guarantee he'll be on the practice field practicing.
And I think if he's not on the roster, that means there's only two quarterbacks on the roster, because I think
he's
number
third.
Three.
He is the number three.
I think he's going to be number three.
But I no longer think, with a guy like him, I don't think there's any chance he goes anywhere else. I think he's already in the system. He's already been, they gave me a chance. If they want me on the practice squad, I'll be on the practice squad for a while, whatever. I think he is here to stay.
You know, before the break and before we talked to John, we touched on pretty much all the units except for offensive line.
Right.
And there's no reason to. I mean, they're they're there.
Dante would love to hear that.
Yeah, there's no injuries to speak of.
I don't know about injuries, but there have been two guys that have been on and off the practice field throughout camp, and that's Stephen Neal and Matt Light.
But they always are.
Yeah, but I think it's the same thing. It's monitoring them and, you know.
Well, Stephen Neal is always on and off the field, whether it's practice or game.
I would put him in the monitoring because of an injury category, though, with Neal.
Yeah.
Specifically. Yeah, Light's probably, you know, this is probably how they planned it before camp. But, yeah, those five guys are out there. And
I mean, when we see the other three starters, he's certainly not favoring anything.
That's why I said I wouldn't anticipate. I think that's part of the plan. I wouldn't anticipate him dealing with an injury. But Neal, yeah, I think that's strictly because of the shoulder.
And, you know, with Sebastian Vollmer, who swings both ways, I think that
how come I couldn't put it on the site, but you can say it?
Because this is different.
Yeah. You haven't noticed that yet?
That's true. I can't say a-hole on the site either, and you say that all the time. You know, I had the misfortune. I watched Vollmer on back-to-back plays today, and I got to tell you, thoroughly underimpressed. It was slow off the line and missed a block the first time, which caused the running back to be hit in the backfield. And the second time, slow off the ball and wasn't a good block. He didn't. Maybe he's tired. Maybe he's getting a little worn down early in camp, but I haven't watched him enough one-on-one, and it wasn't pretty the first couple times.
What has he looked like to everyone else?
Well, Bill raved about him. I mean, Bill absolutely just raved the other day.
In terms of what he's doing in camp.
What he can do, his athleticism, his size, can play both sides, blah, blah, blah. I know it's early in camp, he said, but he was obviously very impressed.
Well, you started off, John, by saying how rare it is to find guys that physically can do both, because on the right side, generally speaking, they're bigger and more physical guys. And on the left side, you need the size, but you also need a little bit more athleticism and mobility. And Vollmer, he says you don't find too many guys like that. And Vollmer, he says, as a rookie already, is one of them. He clearly said, without any kind of hesitation, he can do both of those.
But now, you know, given that, he's only really played 2 years of football and at left tackle, so maybe his run-blocking skills aren't really up there yet, which is what you were seeing today.
He's certainly not a mauler in look. I mean, he doesn't look like he can just lean on a guy and move him out of the way. He's lean, and I would think the pass rush protection and the athleticism would seem to come more naturally just based on his build.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, sure, maybe he's going to be one of those guys that's always going to have to fight to stay low, because at 6'8",
right,
he's coming up all the time and, you know, needs to get under the pads of defensive line. I'm just saying two plays, and I'm not trying to make more of it than it was, but two plays. I was one of them against Steve Williams, just kind of a jag, not against any Richard Seymour type. I was a little underimpressed.
Say no one gets hurt.
I don't know. I can't hear you because your mic's not on.
Did anyone say the interns could talk?
I just have a question.
Why are you talking?
My mic is on.
He can talk. He brought lunch.
Not for me.
Is there any chance he starts opposite of Light this year?
Sure.
At all? Like
if there's no injuries, is there a chance he beats someone out?
Yes, there's a chance.
Is there a chance that he moves Light to right tackle even by the end of this year?
No.
I just don't think so. Yeah.
Now, personally, I don't think there's any way he starts without,
the only way
without
that
an
could
injury,
happen.
But if you're asking me if there's a chance, yeah, there's a
the
chance.
The only way you could see Vollmer at left and Light at right, I think, is if Light got hurt for 3-4 games, Vollmer came in and played just so well that you don't want to take him out. Light gets better, and you put him at – but I think that's a long shot. That's the only way I would think that you could see them on the field and Light not being at left tackle.
I think Light will ever play guard, because I remember when he was first drafted, people were like, well, eventually he might move into guard.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. You know, that later in his career, maybe. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe. Could happen.
I doubt it.
He can't catch, that's for sure.
No.
Ixnay. We don't talk about those plays.
All right.
Yeah, this, we can't talk about any trick plays or...
Oh, there was, that was a trick play?
Or weird formations or anything like
no,
that.
No, it was a conventional
oh,
play.
Oh, that was a trick play.
Intended receiver.
You really aren't an idiot. You don't just play one on the web.
You're one of us, though, John.
All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. We have a ton of emails. And also on the phone, Jim from Texas. Jim, how you doing?
Hey, guys. How's it going today?
Great.
What's up, Jim?
Jimmy.
We're back, new and improved, ready to start the new season. I'm excited. I mean, even practice, I'm excited. This is going to be one of those years I'm probably going to need some, I don't know, some drugs to bring me back down. Because if I'm this pumped up for a practice, I can't imagine what the games count are going to do to me. So, I don't know. I'm going to switch to decaf, guys. What about you?
Screw the decaf. Just go the other way. Just start drinking Red Bull and all that stuff and just go for it.
That's the spirit, man. That's some Red Bull it is. Okay, check this out. We lost Gutierrez, which I thought was kind of not a big I don't know, it wasn't a big deal to me, because I thought that at best he was a third string quarterback, you know, on any other team as well. But bringing in Andrew Walter, that did surprise me a little bit. You guys, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm a little surprised, and I didn't think he looked all that good in his first practice. I was surprised that he got a ton of reps, which I jokingly said to Paul. Apparently the Raiders' offense and the Patriots' offense are similar except for personnel, because he came right in and he was running team drills and just all over the place. But how many times do we hear, Paul, kind of reminds me of Drew. He's a big, tall drink of water, holds the ball low, a little bit of a low release, doesn't have as strong an arm, Paul. Don't get mad.
You thought he reminded you of Drew Bledsoe?
Well, yeah. Not just me. I heard five guys
from
say
a
it.
Physical standpoint, he did.
He's tall.
Bledsoe, I think, was thicker. This guy's skinny.
He's 230 pounds.
Yeah, but he's 6'6". And Bledsoe wasn't 6'6". He was 6'5".
That's about how big Drew was, 6'5", at about 230.
Just water?
So
I'm at a
length. That's my theory on that, though. But as far as the rest of it goes, you guys are impressed with Hoyer?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I have been.
Okay.
Not the strongest arm.
Yesterday, it's all academic, because you just want Brady to play as many plays as possible. So I'm kind of with both of y'all. I think that if Walter or Hoyer's on that team, it really doesn't make a great deal of difference. If it was anybody else, Gutierrez, and pick another name, maybe it doesn't really, because they're all fighting for the third spot on that squad. What do you think about Red getting released?
We should add, also, was picked up by the Chiefs. Scott Pioli picked him up. So he's
not a shock there either.
Well, I am a little surprised, because when Bill answered the question on Red on Saturday, whenever it was, he said, it just looks like there might be some other schemes that are better suited to his skills right now. And for him to land immediately in what I think they're trying to at least trend toward,
right,
a 3-4 Patriots scheme, surprised me. I thought Bill was kind of saying he's more of a 4-3 pass rusher, maybe a defensive end or whatever. And I am a little bit surprised. And the other thing is, I got the vibe, and this is from me talking to him way back when, that maybe work ethic and being studious wasn't his shtick.
I absolutely got the same vibe, and it's more than just physical ability.
And then he lands right in Kansas City, where you would think they're not collecting talent, they're putting together a team.
The right,
not the best 53, it's the right 53.
Well, what I would say is this, though. If you look at some of the last couple of drafts specifically, if you look at a lot of the players they drafted, most of them were film room junkies that, you know, all of them were, like, you know, rated as great work ethics, probably better football players than athletes, and with the exception of Mayo, mind you. And I think that this is kind of like, if that's the case, where, and again, I don't go to practice, I don't know what, if this guy's not really into football is the most important thing to him. As Bill says many times, football is very important to him. If it's not, then he's out of there. But what about this Ninkovic or whatever, wherever we dug this guy up from?
I like it. The next Mike Vrabel, that's what I'm going with.
Oh, come on.
Oh, wow.
He's bounced around. He admitted himself he was reading Mike Vrabel's bio yesterday and kind of comparing. Vrabel had been playing with Pittsburgh, was a defensive end tweener. This guy's out of Purdue, but produces a lot of those tweener outside linebacker types.
Played Roosevelt Colvin.
Right, Roosevelt Colvin and Anthony Spencer and guys of late. He played linebacker last year for the Dolphins in camp, outside and inside linebacker. Was on the practice squad and then ended up getting claimed back again by the Saints, who originally drafted him to play defensive end. But I liked it. He's going to play special teams, and I thought was very interesting. He can long snap. He actually thought he was going to be the Saints' long snapper this year, and then they signed some guy, Kyle or something, Ryle, I don't know. But so I think he could make this team maybe as outside linebacker depth, special teams definitely, and maybe emergency long snapper if you know you get one of these guys to win the competition but don't feel great about it, he could end up your long snapper.
Well, I got two more thoughts as far as our position at linebacker go. I don't think that it's by any means is this going to be these are going to be the guys we bring to battle. I think there's a guy out there that's not on this team that will play for us this year. He may be one of the I know he may be cut from another team or what have you. I don't discount the chance they could trade for somebody. I still think that that is if Bill says to himself, "Man, we don't have enough at this position. I'm going to go out." He'll make a move. I know I've seen him do it before.
Yeah, I have no doubt that. As you put it, Jim, I totally agree with you that someone not here right now will play for this team this year. But what I don't know is will that player be better than what they have currently?
Yeah, that's a fair assessment, too, as far as that goes. But, you know, wait and see. I'm not ready to push the panic button yet.
No panic button. I'm just wondering. You know, a lot of people say that he'll go out and get someone. Well, last year they went out and got a few people, and they weren't as good as the guys they replaced.
I'm wondering. I would agree with that, too, but I would also say this, too. When you guys were talking about Vollmer earlier, the night of the draft when I was watching that thing, I was really disappointed with that pick out of all of the first – out of all the picks we had, I was really – I don't know. I was kind of like, wow.
I was very surprised by that pick as well.
But, I mean, and if Bill loves him, then, hey, you know, wait and see again. The Kool-Aid thing, I'm not so sure, but – there were a lot of guys that were available where Vollmer was picked that we passed on, and I said, man – and I still didn't think we had addressed the outside linebacker position. We're still talking about it. So, yeah, I hope to God I'm wrong about him, though. But as far as the rest of it goes, you guys are doing a great job, and go Pats.
Thanks, Jim.
Jim from Texas.
Hey, screw the fact that Bill likes him. You like him, Fred, so that's all that matters.
Who's that, Vollmer?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I liked him before Bill did.
Andy.
You'd never heard of him.
PFW and friends.
You hadn't heard of him a month after Bill drafted him.
I liked him before Bill did. Andy, when you were talking to Ninkovich about the whole Vrabel bio thing,
yes,
did he say, you know, why he was reading that bio? Is that something that Bill said, hey, we've done this before, why don't you read up on this guy?
He dropped the ball on that.
He had that look in his eye like, jerk, why'd you ask me that?
Didn't have to call me out on the radio. Pulled me aside off the air.
Sorry.
Called me out.
Sorry about that.
Oh, they got Brady getting the cake in the face on SportsCenter right now. Boy, did he, too.
Yeah, they got him square in the face.
Yeah.
And he definitely took his time to clean it off.
Oh, yeah. He made a show of it.
He milked it.
Yeah, he definitely did. Definitely. But who actually did it? I missed the video. Who?
I thought it was Copen, but...
It definitely had the feel of a light Copen production. I mean, no doubt.
Yeah.
You think because they hit his helmet, Matt Light grabbed his helmet before practice, was that in any way so he wouldn't have a helmet on or just to distract him? Was that a well-planned-out 20-minute?
Probably to distract him and let him think that's what the prank
that's
was.
That's the shtick of the day?
Right.
You know? And I'll go a step further. The morning session, the team got called together without Bill, again, just like it was in the afternoon when Brady got cake in the face. You think that was a setup so it was a trend? Every session now a player calls together the team?
So you don't think it's out of the ordinary?
I think he was set up like a beep.
Okay, could be.
Fred, do you know what that next word is?
Yes, I do.
Say it.
Let's see, Jim.
Oh, don't say that one.
Let's get to some emails.
That's the one.
He draws the line at that one.
Jim from Aliso Viejo, California writes in. I'm a huge
Pats
fan.
Get a pin in the map.
Huge Pats fan out here in California. My question to you is about the outside linebacker opposite AT. I live in California and read and listen to as much as I can to find out info back in Pats land. It seems like the Pats are still interested in bringing in Burgess from Oakland, but my take is Bill knows more and likes a lot more about Sean Crable and Woods than anything else out here. Can you guys all give your thoughts on if we will bring in anyone or any inside info about how high Bill is on the guys we have?
Well, I think that if you're talking specifically about Derek Burgess, I can't imagine he thinks more of what we have than an established NFL player who's played that position.
Right.
But I mean, I can't speak for Bill. He would, you know, he might dispute that. But I think there's some reason to be reasonably excited about Pierre Woods thus far. Sean Crable, that's a big-time disappointment. One of the very few negatives of camp so far is that he hasn't been able to step on the field. So how could we possibly feel good about him heading into the year until we see him?
Fred and I were saying before that the fact that he's not back yet probably indicates that it's not just a didn't pass the...
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, I think we're past that point.
Yeah, I think once you got to the weekend and he wasn't back out there, the injury, the conditioning run probably was out the window, and we're dealing with an injury. So that's a major concern to me. I think, you know, you count me in the optimist bandwagon with Crable. And Andy and I have been poking fun at each other for a long time about it. And, you know, now at this point, I don't know how you can have any real kind of optimism about that particular player because he hasn't been on the field now for 2 years. He didn't play at all last year, and we haven't been able to see him in camp. And again, I know it's only 5-6 days here, but these are important time for a young player. These are 11 practices are a lot for a young player at this time of year.
I know.
Derek Burgess, I've just heard, not the Patriots are interested, but that he's now being made available.
Yeah, third and fourth, Schefter.
They
tweeted.
Definitely want to trade him, but I think the Raiders are still upset about how we burned him on Moss.
But we didn't make up for it with Doug Gabriel.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
We sort of even it out.
A lot of burning going on with Doug Gabriel.
So I don't know. I don't know if the Raiders are willing to make a trade that the Patriots would accept at this point.
Well, I would definitely do a third and a fourth.
You would give the Raiders a third and a fourth?
Sure.
Did they say third and a fourth?
Third and a fourth.
And if you were the Raiders, would you take that?
That's evidently what they're
offering. What they're looking for?
I'd give them a fourth.
Yeah, you can't say it'll take a third and a fourth, and someone says, I'll give you a third and a fourth. Well, I meant a second and a third. I mean, you're putting what you'll take on the table.
Okay.
All right.
Kamani writes, and there's something bugging me about the upcoming season. It's the fact that even though the Pats have only been practicing for a handful of days and they haven't played a scrimmage or a preseason game, I can't shake this feeling that the defense is going to suck. they're going to cost us,
how'd you get happy, Fred, after that one?
I know it's going to happen. They were so mediocre last year, a bunch of humps. And also, can we get an update on the work Eric was hired to do? Like the people in Vegas. Any new shows coming up, and how about making some pieces in the $600 range?
Where is Eric?
I'm not doing it with you.
I don't know.
What is Eric doing?
He's transcribing.
I don't know. I wrote the 11 chapters that I've written in my book in less time than it takes him to do a main. What? Was I thinking out loud again?
What's the immediacy to get Terrence Nunn up?
I don't know.
So... he just doesn't want to be on the show?
Maybe. He was on edge. He started to fight with Chris Ferrer a little bit.
About?
Chris Ferrer called
him. Yeah, he threatened to throw him out the window, Fred. So if Chris comes to you
Eric was going to throw Chris out the window.
That's affirmative.
Chris said that Eric
it was... It
was
a cat fight.
What did he call him? Worked up or
stressed. Stressed out.
Imagine that. Chris Ferrer calling somebody stressed out.
What a cat fight that would be.
Oh my God, that's great.
Can
that's
you imagine
great.
That?
Definitely be eye gouging in that fight.
Slapping each other.
Eric's grown his hair out.
He is.
Look sharp.
Not really.
No, stop telling lies. You are an habitual liar.
Have we talked about Julian Edelman?
A little bit. I asked Paul.
We talked about him at the beginning.
Yeah, I asked Paul what his chances of making the team is, and Paul said very good.
Yeah. And what do you think Julian Edelman and Eric have in common?
I love dicks as well.
That's just poor to me.
I love dicks as well.
Jeez.
Sorry for stepping on you there.
Kent State. Their stadium is Dix Stadium, D-I-X. It's named after Robert C. Dix.
Right.
But he knew it when he said it because he smirked at everyone he was saying it to.
Right.
Some reporters said, what's the difference between Gillette and
Dix? You want to hear it in context?
Yeah, play the whole thing just so we don't get in trouble.
Obviously, you got professional facilities here, a lot nicer, but I love Dix as well.
He even says, like, but I love dicks as well.
No, you heard it that way.
No, he definitely said it, and he smirked. Which, by the way, I'm now 50-50 on him. Didn't like him in rookie minicamp. Thought he had a serious air of something about him. Came off very humble and nice yesterday. So I'm dead even now. I've had one bad experience, one good experience.
Do you not like him because?
I love dicks as well.
Fred.
Eric found a new buddy.
I was wondering, don't ask me why these random things pop into my head at odd times, but, you know, the London trip, some of the media guys were talking about London in the tent today. What do we do for money for that? Do we have to worry about any money?
I thought you'd buy, Paul, because you've been carrying extra pounds
I'm
for years.
I'm looking at Paul.
Oh!
I'm looking at Paul.
I graciously said,
I'm like, why is he even asking me this? But then I realized if it wasn't for the Patriots, he would never have left Everett. So I can understand why you're asking this question.
Why? Because I've never been to Europe.
No, when you go,
because he was setting up a joke. It wasn't serious.
What an idiot!
That's your boss you're talking to.
Yeah. What an idiot!
I'm sure the Patriots are going to give us, you know, our
per diem
in pounds,
and they'll probably give it to us in pounds.
And if it's like a regular trip, what does that per diem cover?
Gil Santos was saying food is really expensive over there. Restaurants are really pricey.
Yeah, everything's expensive.
It's
about
one and a half times.
A whole lot of good.
You know, a dollar will only get you about 30 cents worth of stuff over there. You know?
And I'm sorry that I'm not so worldly as you, that I've traveled outside of this country so frequently.
Now, if you have your own money, once you get to the airport, you can exchange it or whatever.
You use a credit card, too, right?
You can use credit cards.
Oh, credit cards are always...
Oh, sure.
Oh, okay, never
mind. They'll do the conversion for you.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
My honeymoon...
I bought American Express.
$300 worth of stuff on my honeymoon on the credit card, never got charged for it.
Really?
Is there a statute of limitations on that stuff?
Well, because you know that... You know, all the popular honeymoon destinations listen to PFW in progress, so...
But it was at one of those,
Andy Visa's online, too.
Yeah, it was at one of those ruins places, and it was an old-fashioned credit card thing, like a paper one. They must have just lost it or
something. Wow, a knuckle buster, they call it.
What?
They call those knuckle busters where they slide the thing over.
Something else.
I didn't know what he was talking about. Sounds like a...
Ball.
Urban Dictionary word of the day.
$1.
That's knuckle buster.
$1 equals 0.59 pounds.
I thought that.
Pause while everyone does the math.
All right.
Not me. I was told there'd be no math.
It was my understanding that there would be no math.
That could be a good documentary, though. Paul in London.
No, you know, that's one of our emailers, isn't it?
Yeah, my trip to London got canceled my senior year of high school.
I know.
London, Paris, and Rome. 10 days. Muammar Gaddafi was blowing up too much stuff.
Maybe your life would have been
different. They wouldn't let us go.
You could have been like you might have been like Eric. You
would have
been
worldly. We certainly wouldn't have won the Greater Boston League Championship in baseball in 1986 had I missed the three games that I was going to miss.
I stopped listening.
Surely would have lost at least one of those games, and that would have been the difference.
How many people would you have insulted if you went on that trip?
Insulted?
Nobody.
No.
Well, maybe a couple.
You wouldn't have because
Paris.
Oui.
Yeah. But certainly nobody in Italy or London.
No. Joe in Burlington, Iowa, says, my question is general in nature. After watching so many practices, how do you determine which side of the ball made a better play? For example, was a touchdown great execution by the offense or a missed assignment by the defense? Finally, I think I can put to rest the discussion about who a real Patriots fan is. Obviously, real fans listen to PFW in progress during the offseason. Good point.
Good call.
Good point.
With that we can all agree on, but that's also a good...
It's an age-old question.
It's a good question about training camp practices, though, because you see all the time the fans get very excited when you see a touchdown play, but does that worry you about the defense? I don't know.
My favorite play this morning was seeing a pass that was right there for somebody who at the last second, the DB made a nice play, and everyone's healthy.
Mm-hmm. But the defense, first of all, came in undermanned and has been undermanned grossly throughout camp.
And what you have to try to do as well is watch before, you know, during practice, almost there's some team period where they're kind of, you know, they go at it 11 on 11. More often than not, one side or the other is operating in scout looks. So someone's working off cards. Well, if the defense is working off cards and they're getting beat, that's not a concern for the defense. Now, clearly they want to execute their assignments and all their techniques and stuff like that, but it would be worse for the offense to fail against the scout look and vice versa. So
I think that's true generally. You don't know quite what to think, but I don't have any questions about this offense. This offense is not going to be bad.
No.
So if the defense is stopping this offense, I feel good about the team this year specifically.
There's no way this offense will be bad. I agree with that.
I do too.
Might not be great. Might be different than we think, but it's not
bad. Oh, it'll be
bad.
Great. It'll be great.
Barring injury. A Brady injury is really the only thing I could see.
I say Hoyer's ready. Next in line.
Hoyer.
Is Hoyer's arm weaker than Chad Pennington's or stronger?
That's a good question. I compared him to was Chad Pennington because he looked comfortable, throws, knows where to go, and then you just go, all right, one Mississippi, two Mississippi, mm-hmm. three Mississippi, ball's there. That, I mean, they're very comparable players, I think, at the old Chad Pennington, not when he was younger, at, you know, mm-hmm. post-surgeries and stuff. I don't know the exact comparison, but there will be some heart. If he has to play, there will be some, okay, got there.
Somebody should ask Randy Moss about that sometime since he played with him.
But he played with him when he had a better arm.
Oh, yeah.
He had a real arm.
But he had
it was better than Hoyer's much, now.
Well, okay.
Yeah, much, definitely much better than Hoyer's that. Now.
Brad from Boxford.
Chad Pennington is the baseball equivalent of like Frank Tanana. He was a guy who threw gas when he was young, had all the injuries, and became a junk baller. That's Chad Pennington. He didn't have, you know, a Jeff George kind of arm when he came out of Marshall, but he threw the ball a lot better than he does now.
He had like a Jeff Blake.
Jeff Blake, those great deep ball.
Yeah, to Moss.
Brad writes in, guys, it's a done deal. Although Bill Paxton might be a good candidate to play Bill Belichick in the Patriots movie, I realized last night as I was watching CSI Miami that David Caruso was the perfect candidate. Bill Paxton is a little too goofy. David Caruso was all business, utter intensity, but has a heart for those whom he leads. In a word, he is Belichick.
So, I disagree.
John, what do you
think? The redhead?
I think, first of all, that yeah. I've been listening to everybody for the last couple of months go over this topic, and I've never called in to say anything, but
right.
I'm going to say it now.
Right.
I pitched this movie to you guys.
You did?
Yeah, absolutely.
A year or two ago. I pitched it to a L.A. guy, and he was sort of interested, but they had done a
No wonder you're no longer in L.A. Is this why you're out of work?
This is the company that made The Rookie and Miracle.
Oh, nice.
Wait,
The Rookie is the pitcher?
Dennis Quaid.
But they weren't they were taking a break from sports movies.
I like that they did.
Did you tell them we're not really sports?
what was I going to say?
A lifestyle.
Oh, you know who should play Belichick? Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi?
He acts. He's been in several things.
Yeah,
they're friends.
Yeah, I know.
He could do the imitation.
I don't know.
It's not really what we're
I could make
for.
It. What are you looking for? David Caruso?
No, that's not what I'm looking for.
Someone with more cachet.
Less personality.
Less personal. But it's all about acting.
Right.
How
exactly.
about Billy Bob Thornton?
I love you, boy.
No.
I think he's a pretty diverse actor. I think he could do it. I think he's got a little
freak.
Bit of the look. He's got a little bit of the wrinkled brow that Bill can give you kind of thing.
He could do it.
I think he could do it.
He kind of did it in that Bad News Bears, I think. I didn't see it, but I saw it.
I think Harrison Ford, the way he's looking now because he's older, he might be able to pull it off.
Josh Brolin.
He's
a little young, but he's right for it.
What, are you kidding me?
Sharon says that Seymour was not at the walkthrough.
Thank you, Mike. We didn't have Eric to help us.
Ty Warren was, but Richard Seymour was not.
Writing the biography of Terrence Nunn.
I just sort of joked around like Sunday maybe in the tent saying, actually, Seymour's really holding out right now. He's not hurt. We just haven't seen him. If he wasn't at the walkthrough.
Doug from Nashville, Tennessee says he believes one of the papers or the Herald said Seymour has a pulled hamstring.
Yeah, but they said Cleo Lemon was a done deal too.
Yeah,
their sources.
I missed that. If someone said Seymour had a pulled hamstring, I missed it.
You saw it when they said Cleo Lemon was a done deal, right?
Well, no, according to sources. For a guy who's been on the beat for 11 days.
Fred, did you let everybody know what famous coach was here today?
I did tell people that Mike Shanahan was here.
But who did you
say it was?
Think was here?
I thought it was Mike Krzyzewski. I look quick and...
To which I will say, in your defense, there is a similarity there.
A little bit.
Krzyzewski's
had a bigger nose, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there is a similar kind of look. They both have that darker skin,
right,
too.
Right.
But, you know, when you look at... You look down there and you say to yourself, oh, that's Mike Shanahan. He looks like he belongs on a football
field.
The
best part was you announced it to the team. Mike Krzyzewski's here.
Krzyzewski's
hey, boss,
here.
You're a loser.
Which is good news because we didn't have to look up how to spell Krzyzewski to put it in the blog.
Sure, but Mike Shanahan was here. And I was thinking that, you know, just for old time's sake, you know, Belichick should have said, hey, Mike, watch this play. And they could have done the intentional safety play just to kind of give the needle to Shanahan.
Shanahan would have said, watch this. I'm beating you again.
Yeah.
Jack in London, or Jack London, I don't know, says, as this is my first email, I'd like to compliment you guys for brightening up my weekday afternoons. The show is funny, informative, and yet you almost never seem to spend a whole show talking just about the Patriots. this has to be the only team in the NFL, maybe even in pro sports, where the team radio show manages to talk about concerts, Italian food, the hottest women in the world, and mock each other every show. Love the show. Keep it up. My question is about the all-time team. How is Teddy Bruschi not included? The man has been with the Patriots through good and bad, helped us win 3 Super Bowls, and overcome a life-threatening stroke to continue to play for us, and he's still going. I don't know a lot about the 2 middle linebackers that were chosen, but I think Bruschi does take some beating as one of the all-time great Patriots. Well, he is an all-time great Patriot. There's no doubt about it, but they got Steve Nelson, who's in the Patriots Hall of Fame, who, I mean, if he was playing for Bill Belichick in this era, would be unbelievable.
You wouldn't, well, yeah, probably like wouldn't 60. Know who Teddy Bruschi was.
Right, right.
Because he's 60.
You know, no,
it would be unbelievable.
Yeah, that would be. But
plus, he's got a new hip and everything.
Right. But, you know, Steve Nelson, you want to talk about tackling machines? I mean, this guy was just a really, really unbelievably good middle linebacker.
Who's the other one? I forget.
I don't know.
Doc, can you look up the inside linebacker?
Nick Bonaconte.
Nick Bonaconte, the Hall of Famer.
So Nick Bonaconte.
The only question with him is he a Patriot? How long?
Right.
Long
and I understand that, but Nick Bonaconte's Nick Bonaconte. He's pretty good, too.
So true.
I agree. I'm not,
you know, so I, but I understand what you're saying about Teddy Bruschi as well. You know, Teddy Bruschi's probably meant more to this team. Not probably. Has meant more to this team than Nick Bonaconte ever did.
Did you see Mike Reese came out with his own personal 50th anniversary team?
Did he
in
really?
The Globe today?
How did it differ?
He definitely, I don't know.
And Bonaconte,
oh, Leon Gray was on there instead of Matt Light.
Well, absolutely. That's a
no-brainer. I can't argue with that.
Why do I keep hearing people, these people that were on the panel say that's a no-brainer?
Fred wasn't
and
there.
How?
Don't blame Fred.
I wasn't there.
Don't blame Fred. In the typical Paul Perillo hot-headed fashion, I almost got out of the meeting when I realized I lost that Leon Gray lost out to Matt Light.
How I heard did, Ron Borges complaining
and,
about
and,
it.
He wasn't there.
Now, on the committee, there's a lot of older guys, too.
Yep.
How was that split, that vote? I mean, without saying who it was.
I have no idea what the vote was because they didn't tell us.
Oh, you don't know if it was
for
close?
No, never mind.
So were there other people objecting besides
Bag
you?
Job?
There were some other people.
Yeah?
There were some other people objecting, yes.
And?
I don't know what to tell you. Everybody voted what they wanted to vote. I voted Leon Gray. I lost.
Yeah, I can see that as that's a legitimate, you know, objection.
I think Leon Gray should be in the Patriots Hall of Fame.
What else, Andy? What any other differences between Mike?
That was all I saw in the quick scan. Sorry.
Bonaconte, by the way, did play 7 years for the Patriots. Played 91 games.
No, he did. I mean, he was a great player.
His greatness probably occurred in Miami.
Right.
But
well, then how great was he?
He was great.
Or was the team great and he became great?
Maybe.
He wasn't great when he was here, was he? Or was he?
No, he was
I don't really have any
he was
idea.
Pretty good.
He was part of the no-name defense.
I think he was pretty good.
No, I mean here. Was he great?
He was good enough that they put him into their Hall of Fame. I know.
It's a slippery slope we're going down.
No,
there.
You know what I think about that. But
yeah,
I don't think any team should create a Hall of Fame until the team has achieved the ultimate success. That's when you establish a Hall of Fame, after the team has achieved the success. You never create an institution for individual accomplishments before the team has achieved what they can achieve. Especially in this sport.
It's
ridiculous.
Nick Bonaconte went to 5 AFL All-Star games in the 7 years he was here. So he was pretty good here, too. Granted, it was easier to make the AFL All-Star game with only 8 teams in it than it was the Pro Bowl, but still.
So the Bruschi thing, I can understand where you're coming from. The Leon Gray thing, definitely. I mean, you talk about a great offensive line. I mean, it wasn't just Hannah.
See, that's what I'm saying. Everybody I hear says Leon Gray was a slam dunk, except he wasn't a slam dunk. I've yet to hear the other people, the other side of the argument, that no, it's ridiculous. Matt Light's far better.
Was that discussed, though? Or is it something where it's minds?
No, what you do is we had a nomination process, and then we discussed all the nominees, and then everybody voted. And we didn't find out who Leon Gray got serious consideration. I don't know how the voting went out. I don't know how the voting came down.
No, I'm just saying.
That's insane.
We weren't.
Every person I hear
discuss
it says Leon Gray, slam dunk. Yeah. I mean, great. But he didn't even get it. So not only was he not a slam dunk,
I think
Matt Light was the slam dunk.
I'll tell you, the dissenters on Leon Gray were the amount of time that he actually spent in New England. Because remember, he left. I think it was like 5 years. He left and went to Houston, I believe, in a contract dispute.
Hardly ever saw those of that
right.
era.
And, you know, to me, because the owner was a complete boob, I don't hold that against the players.
On Reese's list, he's got as center John Morris.
Yeah, he is.
Who did the Patriots
center.
Have?
Him.
They had
Morris?
I thought it was
him.
Yeah, it's John Morris.
And he has Sam Adams as one of the guards.
I think that was a pick, too, right?
That was a Patriots pick, too?
No, Mankins might have gotten it.
I think Logan Mankins did get it.
Yeah, I also disagree with that. But
and that's short. How long?
Now
has
I think
been
I love Mankins.
That was my argument. It's just because Mankins is great. He's only been here 4 years. Now I know if Mankins stays here when he's done, he'll be one of the two best guards of all time. I think he will be, but he's not right now. It's a 50th anniversary team.
Right, he should be on the 60th or the 65th.
Right,
Leon Gray, 3, 4, 6 years, 78 games. So to me, that was enough.
Yeah,
and he has defensive end Willie McGinnis, and then outside.
Well,
line
do we have the actual team?
Tippett and
somewhere.
Well,
that's Reese's team right there.
No, I know, but McGinnis was not on the real 50th.
No,
I know that. Was he considered?
And
for Vrabel, I mean, were Vrabel and McGinnis debated?
Oh yeah,
hotly.
They were definitely debated.
Because I think that's a good debate.
I don't remember how that went.
That's a really
I don't
good
remember
debate.
How that went down. I think that McGinnis may have lost out because he was nominated at two spots.
And
defensive end and linebacker. I think that might have hurt him.
Why did they do that?
Because he played both.
I know, but still it seems...
It's really, you know, kind of the story of two careers. I mean...
Yeah.
Right.
But that's kind of my point. He should have been nominated as an outside linebacker because that's...
Yeah.
He blossomed under Belichick as an outside linebacker.
Yeah, I mean, he was definitely there was Vrabel and him. I voted for Vrabel.
It's a good debate. I think those two guys are. I think perception hurts McGinnis. The whole fourth overall pick was supposed to be this dominant defensive player of the year. He wasn't, but I'd say he was comparable to Mike Vrabel.
It's like you guys have said on the show before. If McGinnis played under Belichick the entire time, similar to Rodney
or Parcells, if he stayed under Parcells the entire time, he would have stayed at that linebacker spot,
amazing.
And he would have been a playmaker. Because he was when he came in, I mean, he was a rookie, but you know, by '96, he was a Pro Bowler already, and he was dealing with some injuries and stuff. I think he had like 11 sacks one of those years.
He did.
He was. I mean, I'm looking at the media guy. Like, I'm going to find him.
You might find him again soon. He's still out there saying, "I'd love to come."
Maybe he put That's himself true. In there in an insert.
Yeah. A little sticky.
Fat Pat writes in, "Sup, ladies and Fred. I don't have much time, so I'm going to get straight to it, addressing some issues discussed on previous shows. One, Vic in the NFL. Yes. Vic to the Patriots. No. Two, this is an old one, but if there ever was ever a time I wanted to be in Eric's shoes is when he was shooting nude models. How did he screw that up? Three, I'm a true Patriots fan because I said so. Four, Rosalind Sanchez is still one of the hottest women in the world. If y'all pulling tricks like Megan Fox and Alba, she's in a much higher class in my opinion. Plus that banana scene from Boat Trip is instant Viagra. And five, a new opening. Since you never heard of the Boondocks, I decided to spend some of my spare time this weekend hooking it up. Before you play it, let me mention that I have no former editing training. So is this okay to play?
Either
it's not okay to play.
It's censored, but not censored enough.
Okay, well, sorry, we're not going to play it.
Plus, what is the movie?
Boondocks?
It's not a movie. It's a show on a Cartoon Network Adult Swim called Boondocks.
Based on a comic.
Yeah, it's...
So am I just being completely unhip, or am I right to assume that no one would even understand it?
No, they might. I mean, five guys and this guy know what it is.
So Five Guys Burgers?
Yeah.
Are you going?
Yeah. We might.
I wasn't too happy with my lunch.
What was your lunch?
I just ate.
The cookies were great again.
One of my cookies was phenomenal.
Mine was
peanut butter.
No, mine. This one, caramel something. Ooh.
Chocolate and peanut butter chips.
Where did that come from?
What?
We only had the chocolate in the oatmeal.
Veteran.
No, the cookies were fine.
Got to know what to look for.
Chocolate is by far the best cookie that they make here.
No way. Chocolate
Dumb
sucks.
Let's see.
We can get off on a debate on anything.
John in Dallas says, I know training camp is far from over, but what are your thoughts on the below? Nunn versus Edelman. If you had a... Pick one.
Strict wide receiver, none. Football player, Edelman.
Andy?
I'll agree.
Yeah.
I'm not strong on it because...
You got to keep one. Which one is it?
None. I like him more. Because I've seen him do some gunner work and stuff. What I've seen from Edelman on a lot of... He does a lot of things. I'm not sure he does much of them well.
Yeah, I would need to know...
Balls are bouncing off his chest.
I would need... I might...
Like all those chestnuts.
I love when Paul's in mid-sentence and can't even finish.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I got to give you the nod. And I'm thinking of the rest of the joke in my head. And anyway, I'd have to find out from Bill. I would go with none, but I'd have to find out with Bill exactly what he would have in mind for Edelman, because it's hard to sort of perceive, because I kind of agree with Andy. He does a lot of things, but none of them really well. He just does them all.
Two, Pat's running more 4-3 versus 3-4 as a total percentage of plays this year.
Normally, I like to shoot those down, but there's a lot of four-man fronts out there. A
lot of four-man fronts out there, and it's hard to say what the percentage of plays will be because so many plays are run out of nickel packages and sub-defenses, and I don't think they necessarily brand with a 4-3 or a
3-4. Plus, just the old roster game and what they have for talent, not just numbers at linebacker, but Paris Lennon, I think, can play outside linebacker in a 4-3 if he needs to. Gary Guyton clearly can play outside linebacker in a 4-3 if he needs to. So some of the guys they have are just better suited to that. And then all the stuff they're doing with Brace and Wright and moving around, the depth on the defensive line, there's a lot of smoke that would make you think 4-3 could be on the growing side.
Chances are over under on Derek Burgess coming to Foxborough.
I don't get the question.
Where's the number?
60% that he comes.
60% he comes. Okay.
I'll take the over.
Number
really?
Two quarterback.
I thought I was leaning a little high.
Number two quarterback, Kevin Walter O'Connell.
Kevin O'Connell.
Walter's not in the conversation after one practice for me.
Pick four tight ends to make the roster. Watson, Thomas, Smith, DeVry, or Baker?
Pick everyone but DeVry.
Baker? Who doesn't make it, in other words?
Watson.
Really?
I'm starting to lean that way, but I'm going to be stunned when I read Watson cut.
That'll be one of those that we're somewhat predicting, but yet if it happens, we will be stunned.
Dave Thomas, to me, has shown a lot in his blocking, which is really throwing a big wrinkle in there, because he was the smaller, soft-handed guy, but now they're using him as a blocker, so that leads me to believe he's going to make the team. Alex Smith is not going to make the team. Alex Smith, cut.
Okay. I watched Alex Smith block pretty ferociously today, a lot. I was like, who is that 80? And then he looked... Like, at least he's committed to it, whether he was doing it well or not.
I agree with Bill. I think it's a really competitive position. I just don't think any of them are good.
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot of good hands. I mean, David Thomas is supposed to be.
Right.
We've seen things before, but Alex Smith and Baker.
DeVry's been the best hands in camp.
Yeah,
Tyson DeVry. But I just find it hard to believe that I'm going to cut one of them for Tyson DeVry, too. So it's really competitive, but I'm not. They have a lot of. Number three tight ends.
Yeah.
Number two tight ends.
The thing that's fun about it is I think you could make a legitimate case for any of them. I think Baker's the only lock in because of the contract, but you can make a legit case for any of the other four over, you know, whoever. Yeah. Even DeVry, I think, has been impressive.
Tremendous. By the way, listening to Cowboys training camp analysis here on local ESPN, and I have to say, what a joke. They are making big things They are making big the things the Pats do every day in camp. Clearly why the Pats are the organizational mold, and Belichick is the man.
Making a big deal out of things.
I guess.
Like, I mean, I'd like
probably
to know what
deal.
He's talking about.
Like, I don't know. No idea. What are the chances, this is from Brian in Colorado, what are the chances Bodden gets signed to a long-term deal before Will Fork?
Zero.
Can he even do that?
I don't know.
Is that one of those two deals?
You're allowed to have two twice in a year, but that's it.
No,
once
in a year.
But
is that
you
not considered
an extension?
You
can
sign
an extension. Yes.
Okay.
You just can't redo a contract.
Redo
same contract.
Okay, you're right.
He would just be an extension.
I don't think that would happen.
I don't think he wants to. I think he wants to have a great year and hit free agency and make $25 million guaranteed.
Yeah, I don't think that would happen.
And I don't think they're handing him $25 million guaranteed.
Phil writes in, with Vince Red being cut, the Patriots are really thin at outside linebacker. The Raiders are looking to trade away Burgess. Do you think anytime soon the Patriots will pick him up? The Raiders are asking for a third and a fourth, and I think that's a little steep.
Yes.
I have a feeling Matt Slater might be cut, so why don't we trade Slater and a fourth for Burgess.
Now, he's going to be cut, but he's worth
a third-round pick.
But the Raiders might do that.
That's true. Speed. Show, Al, yeah,
I can't.
40 times.
He's fast.
I can't argue with the Raiders' stupidity, but for most sane individuals, that wouldn't get it done. That's why you couldn't do it.
Special, Tom Cable might say, excuse me, Mr. Davis, I don't want to tell you how to do your job and all. But
a special teamer that you used a fifth-round pick on who's yet to do a single thing in the league is not going to enhance that package.
If he does nothing, that might be one of the worst picks, certainly the worst second-day pick.
Yeah,
he
I have
a hard
time. He
trade up for a guy that barely played special teams in college.
I don't know if it's the worst pick or whatever. It just reeks of trying to be a little too outside the box, trying to make –
look how smart
we
are.
Square peg fit into a round hole. Yeah, look how smart. Look, you know, we look harder. We find these, the backup quarterback we're going to draft him. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do all these things. It reeks a little bit of that.
TG and NJ writes in.
TG.
He says TG is the place where they put eggs in their sandwiches. And it's true, they do.
They do it here, too.
Taylor ham, Omega, egg and cheese with salt, pepper, and ketchup.
Fried egg with ketchup.
Yeah, pepper and egg sandwiches are big.
Real like you green pepper?
Pepper and egg you can get, yeah.
Ugh, I hate green peppers.
Let's see. He says, great job on covering camp as usual. You guys have a great crew there, Fred. Treat them right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come February.
Yeah.
One.
Who are you talking to? You didn't get us, Shanahan. You're out. Your raise was contingent on Mike Shanahan appearing on this show today.
It's true.
I failed.
You did.
Frank, it's true.
Although I got to give you credit for trying. It was a good idea.
It was.
It was a good idea. One, does Ben Jarvis make the roster? How many running backs will the team carry?
Yes, he makes the roster.
No.
To quote Andy Hyde. No.
Makes it. All those old guys, injury histories.
Five running backs and four tight ends is going to be tough.
That's a lot.
53.
Five running backs and four tight ends. That's a lot.
We don't have a fullback.
Still five running backs.
I know. I'm going to steal. And only two quarterbacks. I'm stealing spots from other places, Paul.
How many tight ends will make the roster? Who gets the axe? Who doesn't? We just talked about that. Three, is Fred's boy, Tank Williams, able to help fill out the linebacker conundrum? Or will he see more safety work?
The third option.
Neither.
Carving out roster spots, Tank Williams gives his up.
Yeah, I have not noticed Tank Williams one.
You know, I was just going to say the same thing, but I have noticed Gary Guyton a little bit. He's doing okay.
Yeah, he's going to make the team.
Yeah.
Well,
I know
play.
He's
going to
make
Guyton
the team, but
like...
we're looking at a guy, if Lennon isn't who we thought, we're looking at the guy to be next to Mayo.
Well, don't forget Brewski.
I know Brewski, but, you know, Brewski is, this is maybe his last year.
Yeah, I know, but I expect him to maybe play during maybe
his
last year.
Oh, absolutely.
Guyton played every game last year. I'm certainly expecting him to play every game this year.
Okay. You just think he's going to blow up. He's one of your guys, right?
Who?
Guyton.
He's one of my guys, yeah.
I think he's going to be the same guy he was last year.
I think
sub-packages.
I think
the more you see him, you
step.
Might.
He takes a step.
I'm not sold on that. I think he is going to be Jabbar Gaffney. Role player, very good. Start to play him too much, his warts start to get magnified.
Four, how will teams game plan to take advantage of the Pats' thin linebacking core? Will they run on them? Will they be able to stop the run?
Well, I think that's up to the guys up front. And I think if you have Seymour and Warren, I'm not hugely concerned about that.
Right. So if you were game planning today, assuming that Warren and Seymour is playing, how do you game plan against the Patriots? You're an opposing coach.
Drop back and throw.
Throw all day.
Throw the ball. Yeah.
I agree.
Because even if the secondary's better, I'm still not sold they're going to get any pressure. So a good secondary still is only covering for a couple seconds. Guys will get open. Guys will get open in the middle of the field. If Brewski's on the field, I'd be throwing on early downs and throwing it around.
Did anybody else read that story about the Patriots looking at Kevin Carter?
Yeah. I saw that, yeah.
Is that nonsense?
Well, I mean,
I'm told
it kind of
was here.
Plays into the four-man front thing, though. Because he's he's a defensive end, so even more so, another...
That was in the Herald? Was that in the Herald?
I saw it on Pro Football Talk.
Oh. The Herald had some very good sources lately.
No, they didn't.
The guy...
Cleo Lemon was signing.
Huh?
Cleo Lemon coming?
But they've had a lot of sources.
Yep, they had it.
Yeah, they had it. It just wasn't right.
Seems like they're getting more inside sources lately.
Yeah, I know. For a guy who's been on the beat for 11 days, he really has a lot of unnamed sources.
They're like Eric's girlfriends.
Made up.
Speaking in the Niagara Falls area.
See, I was trying to be subtle about it. And he just
There's
hit everybody over the
subtle.
Head.
Nothing subtle about me, Fred.
Alejandro writes in, been away lately, but I've been downloading the podcast faithfully. My two cents on the hottest girl in the world, anyone but Gisele Bündchen.
Oh.
Even Sports Nation's Michelle Beadle looks better to me.
I don't know who that is, but that's a little much.
I don't know who that is either.
I think Gisele's overrated, but anyone but?
Doesn't it suck when you watch the former hotties age? I saw the wrestler, and it hurt my heart to see a tardy Marissa Tomei.
I thought she was hot.
Tardy?
Tardy.
Oh, tardy. Okay.
Tardy.
Okay.
I thought she was hot.
Yeah, she wasn't late. Yeah.
There was like a stripper scene in that, right?
And I thought yes, people were saying she's still hot.
I didn't see it, so I can't comment.
Yeah. Well, compared to what
Why
she
don't
used
you have
to
a
be,
comment?
You know.
Because under his arm, I can see his wife.
So?
Looks great.
Alejandro also says, how does Junior...
Hottest woman I've ever seen.
How does Junior Seau sound for a sleeper?
Who?
Junior Seau. Sleeper.
What kind of sleeper? He's going to come in the middle of the season.
Right. If they have an emergency, he'll be here.
Right.
If that's a sleeper.
And I have two questions for Fred and Paul. One, is Fred really off the Broncos? Yes.
Yeah, well, he claims he is.
And
we'll
two,
see.
In which game did you realize, this is Paul, that Brady was the man and the Patriots had to go on without Drew Bledsoe? Was it early in 01 or after the Super Bowl?
That's a good question. To quote Andy Hart again. I'm going to go with the New Orleans Saints game at home in 01.
You were horrible.
Sorry. Drew, I know that hurts.
A lot earlier than most people.
I thought handling that whole media swarm that week, that was the week after the Rams game when Joe Theismann took a lot of reps at practice and somehow Drew Bledsoe was blamed for having Tom Brady not have a great game. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Nobody holds a grudge like Paul Perullo.
That was one of the most asinine explanations I've ever heard, by the way. But anyway, Bill made the declaration that Brady was the quarterback for the foreseeable future. It set off a huge firestorm around here. And then Brady went out in a pouring rain, by the way, against a decent Saints team. Not a great Saints team, but they weren't terrible either. And he just lit it up that night. Absolutely lit it up.
I remember that season when, you know, Bledsoe became available to play. You know, I think it was like this maybe
when Joe Theismann was getting the backup reps. Yeah, and it was Bledsoe's fault that
he
was.
It was like two or three games left in the season. I think that he became.
It was more than that. I don't know why he can't just listen to my stories and go off of it. But it was about halfway through.
That was while we were waiting for Fred.
But anyway, I just remember, you know, okay, Bledsoe can play now. But I thought in my mind, don't screw this up now because the kid's rolling and keep him in there. And then by the time the season's over, you're in the playoffs, you know, you got to just keep going with it. And then the last time that there was ever even a question was, you know, after the Pittsburgh game when Brady rolled his ankle.
Yeah, and that was strictly health-wise.
Yeah.
There was no way you would take – if Brady could play in the Super Bowl, there's no way. Bledsoe had 0% chance to play, provided that Brady was physically okay. No chance.
You want to take that, Fred?
I would agree with that. No way you take him out.
You know that famous right before the Super Bowl and Brady's jumping around and smacking.
Right.
Told you I'd get you here and all that stuff. Do you think
I told you I'd get you here?
Yeah, he said something.
I never
like
heard
that
part of the story.
Put
another check in that box, right. Andy.
But
I never heard that.
Well, what did you think of? What do you think Bledsoe was thinking and feeling at that moment in the runway?
I hate you.
Just get away from me.
Regardless of the uncomfortable, you know, and we're watching the same kind of thing because they've showed in this Music City Miracle game, they're showing Flutie every 30 seconds.
Bledsoe
crying
handled
on
that
the sideline
amazingly, mm-hmm. like a true pro. And I can't blame him if inside he's thinking, just shut the F
but
up.
But not only that, Fred, my thing about Bledsoe is if Bledsoe was starting that game, he would not be a guy. That wasn't the way he was. He wouldn't be slapping around guys now. Mm-hmm. But that's Brady's personality.
Right.
The headbutts with Daniel Graham and stuff like that. That's how Brady got ready to play a game. That's not how Drew did it.
No.
So not only he had those feelings, like you said, like, yeah, we're in the Super Bowl, but this really kind of stinks because I didn't do anything to get us here, and it's bittersweet. Plus, he's got a guy doing everything that he would never do.
Right.
That must have been the worst moment
of
his life.
You know what it reminded me of? You got like a dog who's like 10 years old and a little puppy.
Spike.
And the little puppy's in his face like, let's play.
Me and you just pals, right, Spike?
And the older dog is like, just get away. Just go. You know.
You know, I've said it before and I'll say it forever.
Paul Perullo is the best reporter in PFW history. So. We got to get him to say that. after the game, however, I thought that Drew, you know, people make fun of, you know, that reaction where Brady is like, we won. He's like all excited and he's banging Bledsoe on the shoulder pad.
Right.
Sorry, Andy. banging Bledsoe on the shoulder pad. and Drew has that look. He, like, you know, Brady's ridiculously excited, and Drew has, you know, a regular look on his face. But he says, "You are the man, 12. You know, speaking of these little subtleties that you pick up, that's what I like to remember. Mm-hmm. I think that was genuine.
Yeah.
Right up to, like, the before that drive when he said, you know, F that, go out there and sling it around.
Right, right.
He knew, and that was important at the time. You know, it wasn't one of those things where he was, like, Flutie in this game where he's pouting on the bench the whole game. Bledsoe wanted to win the game, and he was actively involved in that drive and everything. And he was genuinely excited for Brady when it was over, I think, anyway. Yeah.
I think it makes it better for Bledsoe now, especially that Brady has become, like, a no-doubt Hall of Famer.
Right.
As opposed to he got replaced.
I got usurped
and then Brady
by
was like, okay.
a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, it wasn't like a one-time fluke thing where a guy caught lightning in a bottle and cost him his career.
Right,
right,
right. So, no, I guess that is...
You know, as Brady's gotten better and better, you know, at least Drew can say, hey, it took someone that good to do it to me, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Some consolation.
I don't
Three
know
times.
The other two times... It was over at that point. No.
He takes it all serious. Like, no, break it down.
Well, I will say that the Cowboys had a worse record the same year that he got replaced at the quarterback, but, you know, I don't want to let the facts get in the way.
Till the day he dies. Let's see. Tom from Leominster, do you feel like Darius Butler has played well in camp? I attended practice on Monday and saw some plays from him that were impressive. He did get beat by Welker, but many people do. He fared well against Galloway and showed his speed.
I think he's had a good camp. The two things, the first you talked about, the drills, he doesn't look as good as team. And then he gets pushed off a lot.
Oh,
I've seen like Galloway, Moss, and Aiken all push him off and get huge. Now, maybe those would all be penalties in a game, but I doubt it, because as a rookie DB, Terrell Owens is probably going to get some benefit of the doubt early in your career. So that's one thing, and I don't know how you fix that. I'm not a DB's coach. I don't know how you stop allowing receivers to push off on you, but that's happened a number of times.
Harry in Maryland says, you wondered what the world would look like with no ocean water. Check out National Geographic Channel this Sunday night. They are airing a show that shows what it would be like.
I sent you that link.
I know. And since you are supposed
to... How many shows do you think you hear that comment? I know you guys are wondering what the world would look like with no water in it.
I was wondering what that
are you
would
be. I know watch
you
it?
Were.
You going to watch it?
No.
you don't want the answer?
I just don't have time. Since you are supposed to be journalists and you
time
know
for
Bill,
new shows.
And you know Bill well, why can't you guys come up with a question he will actually answer? I understand why most media folks don't know how to approach him, but you should be capable of better.
I asked him about Sebastian Vollmer, and he told me he is a surefire swing tackle. That was the question. That was the answer. What do you want?
I mean, let's not get, you know, ridiculous with the hyperbole. Like, he never answers any questions. There's plenty of questions that elicit responses from Bill.
Sometimes, I'd love to, Andy.
Sometimes the worst questions.
Yeah, and I will also say
when
that.
Did he say that?
I think he is making an attempt this year to be a little bit more friendly
to us.
To PFW, anyway.
No, he's been very
not
nice.
Just with us, but even with questions. Like, there's been a couple people, and I'm not going to name names, who have been just at all the practice, have been asking some questions that, you know, they're not writing about it, and it's just stupid questions. But he has taken the time to answer them, you know, with a thoughtful answer instead of just blowing them off like he has in the past. And believe me,
give me an
I don't
example
blame
of a really
when,
dumb question you've heard. Yeah, well, you don't have to say who
I,
said
you
it.
Know, I can't remember off
Does
the top of my
Does
Adalys
Thomas
head.
Have the versatility to slide inside?
That might be one.
Did they ask him about what the world would be like if there's no ocean?
No. But in the past, and I don't blame him for doing this either, he's kind of given a real curt answer and moved on.
I think he starts out every year being nice, answering every question, and then camp, you know, the stress of
Stuff
camp
happens.
Builds.
Yeah.
Then he gets the same stupid question 3 days in a row, or the same guy asks three stupid questions 3 days in a row, and then he starts to slap people around and be a little – I think he's already started it. I thought he started yesterday. There were a couple questions that were kind of dumb, and I thought he gave them answers that
– Answers?
Answers that
answers?
They deserved.
Is that what you said?
What
you never say that.
I can usually articulate.
But I will say that Andy and Paul have no beefs with Bill thus far. He's been very cordial to us.
Well, you guys You guys ask questions that are relevant. Well, you're actually doing it because you're writing about it, and you're just looking
And we don't
some...
ask a ton of questions either. We ask questions that are specific to something that we've watched.
And we know that Adalys Thomas started like 12 games at inside linebacker a couple years ago.
Again, I'm the bitter one. You won't let it go.
Do you guys over-prepare your questions to couch it in
sometimes.
Such a way that he will not
yep.
be able to
halfway
say?
Halfway through, yeah. sometimes you say, I screwed it up by going tiptoeing too much.
Lying your ass off.
You take the long way to grandma's house and you end up getting lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, it happens.
Guilty.
Because sometimes bad questions or direct questions that you think surefire are going to get slapped around, he gives great answers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some you know they teach you that you should never ask a yes-no question because
right.
that's what you'll get.
Right.
Or you won't get anything. But sometimes that's the best thing when you're just looking for an answer to something, you know?
But more often than not, he's going to say what he wants to say.
Yeah.
So good or bad question, the answer's already in his mind. I kind of felt like he wanted to praise Sebastian Vollmer. And it was almost like I asked a question, and, but oh, that's right. I've been meaning to talk about Vollmer. Yeah, he's athletic.
But he doesn't want to offer it up
right.
unsolicited.
He's not going to.
It makes it sound like he's right. over the top.
That's how I kind of feel with
that.
Some of those. He wants yeah. to praise him, give him a little pub,
right.
or so, and
right.
you just happen to flick the switch.
Yeah, Adam from Charlotte, North Carolina. Last night they had the NFL yearbook for the Pats in 08. Nice little treat to get us ready. There was a part where Bill was joking around with the team, showing his fun side that I've seen on all my Patriots DVDs and Pats books I've read. I wish that was the Belichick the rest of the world knew. I find myself hearing from so many people down here, I don't hate the Patriots, I just hate their coach. Hey, it is what it is, you know. If they had him, though, if he was available, all those people would do handsprings to get him to coach their team. I guarantee you that. Right?
True.
Yep.
Everybody on board here? Okay.
Absolutely.
Since you guys are so close to the team, walk us through a day of practice. Who's there early? Who has the parking spots that Brady used to have? What do they do between practices? Who seems to hang out with who? Do you see Giselle around with a brown bag for lunch? Feed Brady peanut butter and jelly, fruit roll up in a pop in a Capri Sun?
What about the grapes?
What does Bill do surrounding the practices? How about Mr. Kraft?
Hey.
Welcome. Just looking for anything that you can tell us that fans don't get to see.
Nothing.
Parking spaces, I have no idea. I know Wes Welker has one. I don't know anybody
else. Well, somebody,
else.
I'll give you, we've been talking about it the last few days. Somebody has this, like, replica. It's not quite a semi-tractor trailer.
It looks like a pickup truck and a tractor trailer truck had a baby.
After that.
Yeah.
And
it's orange, too.
And we're thinking that it's got to be Moss's because of the NASCAR thing
Wrong.
And all that.
Whose is
it?
If you know the answer, just tell us.
Wrong.
Right.
Wilfork.
It's Wilfork. No wonder he needs that raise.
Does Wes Welker's parking placard just
like
say
him.
Brady's teammate?
What'd you say?
Did Wes Welker's parking placard just say Brady's teammate?
A lot of people
teammate?
Get upset at that.
I missed this whole thing.
He was in the West Coast throwing away with Joey Galloway.
Yeah, UCLA.
At UCLA, and they said, you know, here's Tom Brady.
Working out with a teammate.
With a
Joey
teammate.
Galloway was
and they didn't mention Wes Welker's name.
Yeah, it's a
and a lot of
Brady
people took offense
Welker.
At that.
Oh, I think it should have been like Randy Moss's teammate.
He's a nice little player.
Who's this?
Who's who?
You.
Randy Moss.
I didn't know you actually partake in this
show. Eric, what's going on?
I was doing the update, Fred.
Doing the update?
Yeah.
Doing.
Wow.
Is that a euphemism?
It's a big update? Do I have a lot to look forward to here?
About 900 words.
Ooh.
900 words. Wow. That's amazing.
What's the matter with you?
Nothing. Just everybody's been asking about Kamani wrote in.
Wants, oh, everybody. Yeah.
He wants to.
Everybody. That's everybody.
He wants to know
actually,
how the thing
it's
in
amazing.
Vegas is going.
Oh, you told him about that?
You
I didn't
told
say
him
about this. I heard about this
you
on
mentioned
a show
it.
A month and a half ago.
You said you got a deal in Vegas. A commission, I guess
that's
you
right.
call it.
I do.
Have you
How's
started?
It going?
I didn't know.
I'm
going to
go in the off season.
Here we go.
What?
This
like,
is
I don't
the
have time to take. I don't have time to take off.
So this
right
is something
now.
You have to be there to do.
Turns his mic off.
Yeah,
he's all befuddled.
Okay,
I'm tired, Fred. It's 2-a-days. I'm not thinking straight.
Well, and he wants to know when you're going to start doing some stuff in the $600 range.
If he wants photographs, I can give him photographs for that much.
Photographs.
Yeah.
I'll do a digital shot for $1. That includes a 19-cent processing fee.
You gotta lighten up. You gotta lighten up.
I'm tired, Fred. I'm tired.
Why are you
got a cold?
You almost fought Chris Ferreira.
Oh, you have a cold. You're not feeling well.
He threatened to throw Chris Ferreira out the window.
Well, because Chris Ferreira, as you know, is the biggest idiot that you've ever hired.
Well, no, he isn't.
Well,
he's actually the best webmaster in
the
NFL. The
second biggest.
He's back up to best, by the way.
Really?
Oh,
why?
The volume of content that he produces in a given day, plus not just the content, all the other prep work he has to do, is far and above any other NFL webmaster. I can guarantee you that.
What does he actually produce?
What do you mean, what does he produce? Every bit of all the all the press conferences, all the video, all the graphics you see. He gets all that up there. You think that just happens?
No. Well, someone else is doing it.
Right.
He's just posting it on the
web.
Who's
someone else? Who's creating those graphics?
Bill Belichick in the press conference.
No. I'm not talking about the content. I'm talking about the graphics.
So like, graphics he produces.
All those still things that you see that flash on the...
I don't see them.
He does all that.
Every
so anyway,
sure I've seen the new site.
Bob runs
Ferreira
by.
Sucks. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
So what are you saying that he got you mad about?
Oh, no, Eric and Chris, I'll tell you, Fred, I think it might be something you need to look into.
Really?
There was
no.
really, really Sit a lot down. Of tension upstairs. It made no, our no. guests
Can't
uncomfortable.
Can we all just get along?
At one point, our guests were a little uncomfortable. So they were looking at each other wondering if it was serious or not, and I think it was.
Well, you haven't seriously thought about throwing Chris Ferreira out a window before?
No, I don't really seriously think about Chris.
Oh, you're alone. Well, okay. That's
Why did you want to throw him out a window?
Oh, because he's annoying.
What did he do?
He keeps coming up to me saying, are you stressed? Are you stressed out? How come you're stressed out? I'm like, no, I'm not stressed out.
The irony
of
that is
up to me and
it's
telling
the
me
stress
I'm stressed
sandwich.
Out.
Well, maybe he's concerned.
He's not concerned.
Why is he asking?
Because he says it and he laughs like Fred Kirsch after he says it, so you know he's not serious.
So he's just trying to get at you.
Exactly.
And it's working.
A little bit.
I got to give him a high five then.
Yeah.
It's the first time ever he's been able to be on that side of that game.
Yeah,
right.
That's true. Well, he's got to have a little bit of fun in his life.
See,
you know,
I mean, these guys pick on Eric. I mean, these guys pick on Chris, and Chris picks on you. It's a trickle-down theory.
So you're the bottom of the totem pole.
It all flows downhill.
Look who's talking over there.
Doc getting in his two cents.
He wants to make sure he's not below you.
Oh, he is.
By the way, Brian of Mansfield says that Dustin Hoffman should play Bill Belichick.
I can't hear you again. He shut it off. He doesn't like you.
He turned it off.
No, he needs these 10 minutes or he won't be on the show at all.
Enjoy watching Wade Phillips there.
That was a nice shout of Wade Phillips looking all befuddled on the sideline after the Music City Miracle.
Joel in Merrimack, New Hampshire, who's a real Patriots fan, according to himself.
According to me, too.
He says, hi, guys. Hi, Eric. Oh, wait, Eric is out pouting. Listening to the show, and I heard the question from a listener who asked about if it is troubling when the offense moves and scores on the defense. My thought is no. Come on. This is the best offense in the NFL. They are going to move and score on most defenses in the NFL. I think it will be truly hard to judge the defense until preseason starts. Let's face it, almost anything is an improvement from last year's secondary. A quick question. How is Maroney looking? I haven't heard anything yet, so I'm a bit worried. Thanks and keep up the great show.
We already said they're going to rush for 2,800 yards this year. Every back looks good.
By we, you mean you, right?
Yeah.
No, Maroney looked good to him.
He's very good.
We talked at length about the running back.
They are going, I'm telling you.
And they got to stay.
How many are there?
Stay healthy.
Five, yeah. Counting Benny.
Plus six if you want your.
So friend. Four legitimate. What? Who?
Five, counting Benny.
Oh, is it five including him?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So four at 600 yards is 2,400 yards. Yeah, mm-hmm. They're going to be in the mid twos. Mm-hmm.
Maybe they could break that John Hanna record.
Isn't that like 36?
3,100. I don't.
31.
I don't see that.
Not
with
this
passing
either.
Offense.
Right.
Brady.
And you know what kind of mood Moss will be in if they're rushing for 3,100 yards?
They're rushing for 3,100 yards. You've got Andrew Walter playing.
Yeah.
All right. Big Al's on the phone. So thanks for holding on, Big Al.
Hey, how you doing there, fellas?
Good.
Yeah, just thinking, what if I woke up tomorrow and there was no water left on the surface of the earth?
Are you going to watch that thing on Sunday on Nat Geo?
No, it sounds like one of
Nat
these.
That's what it's called.
That is what they call it.
I knew what it was, and we had talked about it before. I don't think you heard
I think
that.
That's.
I've watched
the
channel. I understand what they refer to themselves as.
It just sounds like something you unnecessarily trying to scare yourself, you know? Like, why would you watch Friday the 13th, part 26, you know?
No, but this is more of a geological thing. Just, you know, what is the structure? Because there are mountains underneath the ocean that are taller than Mount Everest.
I'll take your word for it.
I will, too.
Listen, here's the page. Just quickly, the anniversary team. Agree with the vast majority of the picks. They all look really good. One thing that kind of jumped out at me, though, is kind of strange. If you go back and you click back to the 35th anniversary team, you've got two wide receivers, Stanley Morgan and Gino Cappelletti. You know, fair enough. Seems pretty straightforward there.
I know where you're going, and it bothered Andy and I as well. Go ahead.
Okay. You go to the 50th anniversary team. Now, the good news, I guess, you know, you added a, we're going to three you know, we think that we need three wide receiver positions, which is, you know, fair enough. But and we add Troy Brown, which is the good news. But for some reason, it seems like we move Geno to over to the captain position, and then we move in Irving Fryer as the third wide receiver, which, forgive me, but that's where I get off the bus right there. That is just – he's on my all pain in the ass team.
I wasn't there. Can't blame me.
I voted for Fryer.
You voted for Fryer?
Yeah.
What's your reasoning?
He was a better player.
Was he? Than Geno?
Absolutely. And listening to some of the people who talked on behalf of the guys from the 70s and 80s, guys that we didn't have an opportunity to cover, they all said the same thing about Fryer, one of the hardest working guys in the locker room. He was young, and he'd made some mistakes off the field, but a very hard-working player.
Did they take into consideration Geno's unit on his hip?
Oh, God.
No, but in all seriousness, did Moss get any consideration for two seasons?
Yes, he got a lot.
Two great seasons.
Yep, he got a lot. Matter of fact, he would have been my next one if I hadn't, you know, I wouldn't have voted for Geno, sorry.
I would have voted for Randy Moss, I think, just because even just the 1 year was ridiculous.
Yeah.
The greatest season of any receiver for any
team. We gave it a lot of thought, and in the end, 2 years just wasn't enough.
Right.
That's
I would have loved Geno in there. He's the all-time leading scorer in the history of the American Football League. Yeah, I don't know how he's not on.
But that hasn't had anything to do with wide receiver. He wasn't a great wide receiver, and he wasn't a great kicker. Combined, made him the highest scorer in AFL history, but he wasn't the best kicker in team history, and he wasn't the best wide receiver in team history. And that's ultimately what we've got to fall. But now, we all love Geno, Al. So,
I mean, Jimmy Colclaw in his time might have been a better wide receiver.
Yeah,
than,
it wasn't you know, something that – matter of fact, he ended up being the captain because there were a lot of people who were like you, Al, and they said, can we really – matter of fact, I'm not going to mention the name, but one gentleman on the committee said, can we really have this team and not have Geno Cappelletti be part of it? To which, you know, smart-ass Paul turned and said, is he one of the best players in the 50 years? No? Then no. I mean, I didn't really understand. Because we have an affinity for the guy, we had to carve out a place for him, and I didn't get it.
Is it kind of like the –
I just don't know how he made the 35th anniversary team. And Irving Fryer had retired by 1994 or was no longer on the team.
You're right.
I mean,
I didn't I can say about that is I didn't vote.
The team in 1994.
You're right.
And Irving Fryer not on the team in 1994. If that's the logic for you,
you're absolutely right. And I have no explanation for that. None. I don't know what went into the 35th anniversary team. Fred and I weren't part of that.
Okay.
But I mean, it's a logical question. What happened to Geno Cappelletti in the 15 years since that team was made? Because the guy who beat him out also had never played another game for the Patriots in that in that time. So
that's right.
I don't get it.
They were both, you know, they had both closed the book. So I don't know how you make this, but it's just an interesting conversation.
Yeah,
the only other spot that I would have possibly, I mean, it looked like that. I think somebody did say that Bruschi, based upon longevity, you might want to slide in there ahead of Bonacani, because you think of him more as a Dolphin, than a Patriot.
But if you're judging
Bonacani
him on the
did have a tremendous career, certainly, with the Pats, so that's a close call. The other close call that I saw would be John Morris, and I think Bill Lankitis was a really solid center. The thing with John Morris, he made a lot of...
Bill Lankitis.
He made a lot of all AFL teams back in the day, but... There was some years in there when the Pats just weren't very good, and it's almost like we got to pick somebody from the Patriots, and John Morris was sort of the DH. I don't know if he was really that good or not, but he was the guy from the Patriots that made the all AFL teams a lot, and he had a lot of years in. But I think I would have taken Bill Lankitis in a close call over John Morris. But other than that, I mean, it looked like all the other picks, I don't think you could quarrel with. At all, and they seem to cover the whole waterfront as far as, you know, way back in the day, you know, all the decades and what have you, and so like everybody got pretty much all the years got represented.
Yeah, I can't accurately say John Morris or whatever, but I will say, just looking at the Patriots media guide, he only made one all-AFL team as the lone representative for the Patriots.
Oh, okay.
In 64, he was one of nine guys. In 65, he was one of four. In 66, he was one of 11. In 67, he was one of seven. In 68, he was one of five. In 69, he was one of six. And then 70 was the only one that he was the only representative. So it doesn't sound like there was a lot
of... We had six guys on the all-AFL team in 1969.
69, that, six guys. Carl Garrett, Jim Lee Hunt, John Morris, Ron Sellers, Mike Taliaferro, and Don Webb.
Mike Tolliver made the...
Taliaferro.
69.
Well, I definitely got to brush up. I didn't think again that Mike Tolliver would have made any kind of all team at all. But maybe.
19 touchdowns, 18 interceptions that year.
At that time, 10 teams in the league. So
48.3 completion percentage.
All right, Big Al, thanks for calling in.
Have a great day, fellas.
Yep,
thanks,
that's
going
to be it for this edition. I want to remind our listeners that on Thursday we'll be back, but also at 2 o'clock right after our show, Fantasy Lowdown with Brian Lowe, his preseason extravaganza. So all you fantasy players, you're going to want to stay online and tune in to Fantasy Lowdown 2 o'clock Thursday. All right, that's it for us. We'll see you next Thursday.
DFW in progress. These guys rock.
You're damn right they do.
Patriots.com radio.